Let's call us meeting to order the Champaign County Board Committee of the Whole for Highway Finance and Policy. It's Tuesday, April 12th, 2011. Time is 6:07. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter. Cowart.
Present.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kurtz. Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels. Mosier.
Here.
Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Sapp.
Here.
Schrader. Weibel.
Here, we have Quorum. Seek approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole for March 8th, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Quisenberry, second by Ms. Allens. Discussion, Ms. Petrie.
I just want to take a moment to thank Kat for the fabulous job she does on our minutes each time. It's very much appreciated.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda. Moved by Mr. James, second by Mr. Rosales. Discussion. Mr. Quisenberry.
I'd like to request that we move item 9B2 to the top of the agenda.
Okay, we can do that. Probably right after communication. Any more discussion? See none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. We have one person so far, Mr. Steve Kaiser.
I'm Steve Kaiser. I addressed some time ago about the Olympian Drive, and I just wanted to briefly state that I have taken formal steps to have it all documented with the local archaeological survey, and as far as I can, input I've gotten from them, I'm the only person that's actually accidentally discovered this through the course of the report that I gave to you, and all of you took a glance at when I was here the last time. And this is an example of one of an early art cave stone that was found right next to the existing bridge on the saline ditch. If you parked along the road and looked out your car window, that's how it was found. Did not even have to walk out and dig or do any of that kind of stuff. And so all of these things have been documented, and we've done, today we spent 3 hours doing a very careful verbal description of all of the sites and their locations and a close approximation of their measurements. And the reason I'm here is because several of those places conflict with the purple route or the green route. I'm not sure why those colors were selected to describe the engineering thing, but that's just what I'm trying to tell you, that they have it in their hands, and I would hope that there would be a coordination between Springfield or the federal government or something, or Hanson Engineering, to do a good search before any kind of construction activity happens. And I would hope that they would have the proper machinery, as in a magnetometer or something, that will visually scan what is underground. Because walking on the ground like this is just the tip of the iceberg, as far as I'm concerned, out there. And the summary of the whole area is such that before it was, while it was inhabited by these people, the stream wandering through there was essentially a swamp. And whenever the swamp rose or fell as it flowed through, the stratigraphic areas on both sides, all the way up to Fort Harris Road and down to Lincoln Avenue, they areas or the places of all the 19 campsites are consistently right on the edge of where hunting and gathering would have taken place. I ruined it. Thank you. This is an early archaic axe, stone axe, from about 6,000 years ago. I can pass it around if you want to look at it. Or I'll leave it up here. What? Yes.
Take your time.
That's one of many that have been documented. Yes.
It's a long time we're out of order. Do you have further discussion?
No, I don't.
Ms. Petrie?
I move that we suspend the rules so we can ask some questions of the gentleman.
Second by Mr. Sapp. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Petrie, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just so I understand, I have a couple of clarification questions. Are you explaining to us that you have prepared documents that you have given to the state archaeological group that does then go back into areas that have been identified to confirm or deny whether there are important aspects there that need to be considered and remediated?
Yes. By the office committee on Stadium Drive, they have photographs of all of the documents that I had, photographs that I presented to you in the ring binder, and we have separated them into the campsites at 90% accuracy. And we also did a verbal description of each stratigraphic spot on the west side and on the east side of the saline ditch, all the way up to Fort Harris Road and clear down to where Lincoln Avenue makes its current bend to the east, right where the transfer station is.
Okay.
So they have that all documented.
And a follow-up question, did they give you any indication as to a timeline for their procedure to do their checking?
They're in the dark. Nothing. They have not gotten any communication from any government agency that would be involved in such a process. I could be wrong, but they just informally, the one archaeological agent that I worked with today in describing things said they had nothing in their hands.
I'm not surprised by that. I'm familiar with some of the people who work for that, now called the Archaeological Survey, formerly called ICARP. We're not going to inform something that this whole process has not even started yet. There's no government agreement. So, technically, on paper, this project has not started. Once this project starts, then the process will start where they will be informed and they will probably be participating and become part of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nudo.
I wonder if Mr. Blue would respond to any of the things that this gentleman's brought up.
Why don't we wait until we actually discuss it on the during the.
We're in suspension right now, so.
The
guy is here. Let's have a question.
Well, you asked Mr. Blue a comment. That's different from having him having questions. Mr. Blue, do you have any comments for this gentleman? Microphone.
From my understanding, these artifacts were found along the actual saline branch, which our current Olympian Drive project stops before we ever get there. We're never crossing the actual saline branch. The only thing we're crossing on Lincoln Avenue is that small tributary of the saline, which is a ditch that was man-made. So as far as the current projects that we have IGAs before you on tonight, I don't believe we're affecting anything along where these artifacts were found. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm getting from what he has said.
I'm not completely familiar with the exact route of Lincoln and the The purple line goes directly west, I believe, of the resident room, the Barrens. That's campsite number 3 in my report, and it's one of the highest points there. And then it, the Lincoln Avenue part of the purple line veers off to the north and the east and connects up with the road as it goes around there. That's about the only place that I have actually seen. But the other part of the project, the Olympian project, moves through 3 campsites as it comes across just before, just west of the Saline Ditch. As it goes between the two farms, I believe that... Let me find it here. Between the Erlinson and the Farrell, there is a long 450-yard stratigraphic ridge running north and south. There are 3 places in there where there's a heavy concentration of Indian artifacts. And in the report, there are number 7, 8, and 9. I don't know if you still have that here. I don't know if you do or not, but that's 2 places. And then also, if the Olympian Drive part of the road goes across the Saline Ditch and then comes across and curves south just a little bit before it realigns with the existing Olympian Road, there's another campsite in there also, on the very east side.
Further
That's
questions.
All I can tell you.
Questions for the speaker. Okay, thank you. Is there further public participation? Seeing none, we'll close that. Let's go on to communications from the board.
Right.
Ms. Petrie.
Thank you very much. A constituent asked me to let the board know that on the 25th of April at the Champaign Public Library will be a public information meeting about wind energy, and this is being sponsored by Representative Jacobson, Prairie Rivers Network, and the Sierra Club. And then I'd also like to remind everybody that tomorrow at the I Hotel is the all-day conference on green structure maintenance. Thank you very much.
Mr. McGinty.
A quick announcement to remind folks about the, you've seen in the news recently about Health Alliance and the decision there by the state. I know that there's been a push through this area to express particularly to the state and our legislators concerns about that decision. And I know that on the websites for Senator Frederick, Representative Jacobson, Representative Rose, there are, there might be more, the opportunity to sign off on letters of support for continuing with Health Alliance. And so for those interested, those are areas where you can find more information.
Are there other communications? Okay, seeing none, let's go up to our areas. The first item is going to be something from policy. So let's move up to Ms. Allen. Are you doing from there? Ms. Allen, what's that? Is that a cross or do you want to do it from there? There's one book there, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. All right. Policy is presenting an item that's been moved to the front of the agenda. On your agenda is B2, which is a request from Countryside School for issuance of industrial revenue bonds. And I so move.
Thank you. Mr. Betts.
Is there any discussion on this item for the industrial revenue bonds?
Ms. Petrie. Mine is just a question of information. I'm not acquainted with this type of bond, so if somebody could just explain it to me and why it comes under the jurisdiction of the county, and I guess I never thought of a school as being an industry.
Because our bond counsel and can explain this for you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for asking that. I'm Kirk Froelich. I'm with Evans, Froelich, Beth, and Shamley in Champaign. We've acted as bond counsel for the county for probably, seems like, the past 20 years or so. This bond issue is not a typical government bond issue that you would undertake for doing, for example, courthouse work. These are what are called private activity bonds. They're designed to provide money and to pass through a tax-exempt interest component that benefits certain qualifying entities. The typical industrial development bond is for industry or manufacturing. In 1980, the law on that got expanded greatly to any capital project, and the reason was all of a sudden commercial projects became viable for this. And within that definition, it also include countryside school. It is technically a This is a capital project. And consequently, it technically does qualify for tax-exempt finance, which means the interest rate for this organization would be roughly two-thirds of what it otherwise might be if it wasn't tax-exempt. So the county's participation in this is to assist Countryside School, which is a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation. And the 501c3 status gives Countryside School almost the status of a governmental entity in terms of how the federal tax law treats these kinds of financings. The only difference on this between a governmental project and this private project for the school is the fact that we have to have a public hearing on it. In almost every other way, the tax treatment is identical.
I appreciate that explanation very much.
Okay. Now, this comes out of what's called the Industrial Building Revenue Bond Act, and in addition, that act says basically that the bonds are not the county's responsibility or obligation. They're only the private entity's obligation. The county is on this only to pass through the tax-exempt feature. If there's any other questions on this part of it, I really don't want to spend any amount of excess time on this and instead turn this over to Earl Heffley, who's in charge of the capital project division of Countryside School, that committee, and have him describe to you the project and go from there. Thank you.
My name is Earl Heffley. I'm on the Countryside School Board of Directors. I'm chair of the Capital Projects Committee and past president of the board, and I want to thank you for taking the time to hear our request. As background, the school was founded in 1992 by a group of local families that felt that Champaign-Urbana needed an independent, not-for-profit, non-sectarian elementary and middle school with an enriched projects-based curriculum strong in math and science. After renting classroom space in its early years, Countryside purchased 14 acres at the southwest corner of Kirby Avenue and Staley Road in Champaign and constructed its existing school building in 1996. This project was financed in 1996 through industrial development bonds issued through Champaign County, and we thank you for that. In 2005, additional classroom space was added to better accommodate an expanded middle school program. The original industrial development bonds were called and paid off at that time as part of the commercial bank loan that financed the middle school expansion project. Students are drawn from several cities and towns besides Champaign and Urbana, including Mansfield, Mahomet, Ivesdale, Savoy, Tolono, and there have been many others. The school currently has a capacity of 148 students. K through 5 is 88 students. Middle school is up to 60 students. So we're a small school. Each elementary class has 14 to 15 students per grade, and grades are combined such that kindergarten and first grade are together, second and third is together, fourth and fifth are together, each in dual classrooms, and each grade has its own teacher, so there are teachers in each classroom. With these factors and with the elementary and middle school being combined, the school in the same building, our school is somewhat different from larger schools. The school's educational goals for students include experience the joy of learning, gain a deeper understanding of important concepts through innovative and challenging curriculum, be at ease with speaking, singing, acting, and performing before a group, and the student should learn to take his or her education and look it down and to manage time effectively. World languages taught are Spanish, Latin, and Chinese. PE, sports, music, art, and performance are important components of the curriculum. The current building project that we're proposing to do includes a full-size gym, performing arts stage, locker and changing rooms, storage areas, offices, and space for a kitchen. And I believe in the packet that was passed around, there's a floor plan. The school currently does not have a dedicated gym or stage. We have a multi-purpose room that's probably less than one half of the size of the full-size gym that we are planning to build. And as a footnote, although it says high school size gym, it's building a high school size gym because that's what the Illinois Sports Athletic Association specifies as recommended for middle school. So we don't have any plans to build a high school, but we need a high school size gym to meet their recommendations. The overall cost of the project is $4.5 million. Construction contracts are $3.7 million of this amount. Architects' fees, legal fees, permits, equipment, middle class, bring the total up to the $4.5 million. We have to date raised $2 million in fundraising pledges from Countryside families and friends. Applying the $2 million in donations and $100,000 in available budget reserves to the $4.5 million total leaves us with a balance of $2.4 million needed for the project to go forward. Thus, we are requesting that the county consider approving the issuance of $2.4 million in industrial development bonds to assist with the financing of the project. Hickory Point Bank is committed to purchasing the bonds and thereby financing the project. Countryside School would then repay the bondholder, that is, Hickory Point Bank, based upon a 20-year amortization schedule. In terms of public good, I think there are many. The building project would enhance Countryside's ability to deliver on its mission of joy in learning and excellence in education. Countryside School is often a deciding factor for families who desire an independent school education as they consider job relocation to and from the Champaign-Urbana area. The new gymnasium will provide space for hosting athletic tournaments for area schools and districts. The gymnasium, with adequate space around the side and end lines of its basketball court, unlike our existing multipurpose room, will be much safer for the students. The space offers the possibility of a new venue for community groups and organizations in need of a performance stage or a gym facility. The additional curb cuts along Kirby Avenue will alleviate traffic congestion during the peak morning and drop-off and afternoon pickup periods. And the project will benefit the residents of Champaign County by stimulating the local economy and creating both short and long-term jobs. Short-term, the project will create a sizable construction project through the middle of 2012, utilizing local contractors and vendors. Long-term, the school plans to hire additional staff to help maintain the new building. This project might also support expansion of the school and the hiring of additional teachers and staff if sometime down the road there's overwhelming demand for additional student spaces in K through 8.
Can I just interrupt and ask if the board members have questions at this point, if they can pose those questions? Questions? Mr. Rosales?
Is this part of any unified school system, like Unit 4 or Unit 116, or is this an accredited school? And I would like to ask about the requirements of students attending that school.
It's an independent school. It's not a member of any of the local school districts. We are an accredited school. We're accredited through Isaacs and through the National Association of Independent Schools. We undergo a rigorous accreditation review that's on a seven-year cycle that examines the curriculum, the performance of the students. There's, as probably most schools and even universities that go through this process, there's a self-study process, there's a long report, there's an accreditation team that evaluates that, there's an accreditation team that comes and visits the school and then issues a report, school responds to that, and it goes on in a continuing seven-year cycle. We also do standardized testing of the students.
How are the students selected, and is there an entry exam or a certain level of economic standards? I mean, could anybody apply and get accepted and attend, or do you have to have a certain income to attend, or I'm not quite sure.
We have an open admissions process. There are tuition and fees for attending the school. Admissions is blind in terms of ability to pay. We do offer financial assistance to students that is funded through a combination of income from our modest endowment and from other school funds. So those decisions are made independently. Anyone is willing to apply. If anyone would like to visit the school, we'd be more than happy to receive you and show you around.
Thank you.
The high school gymnasium that you will be building, you had said that this will be open for, is it like a lease or for other organizations? If other high schools want to utilize it, you'll also host various tournaments at this particular location, which I was just wondering how those items would work out. And I also think that hiring local contractors is wonderful, and that it definitely will stimulate the economy in our area, which is very pleasing. But how will you facilitate this particular gym to Champaign-Urbana or Champaign County?
It would be on the basis of availability and our ability to accommodate the event. Depending on what the event is and whether there's any financial burden to the school for hosting it, we would probably do cost recovery for that. We're not interested in making money from such things. And we have hosted various meetings of community and neighborhood groups in that part of town, because there's not that much that's out there west of the interstate right now. So we've done that in the past to some extent, but our multi-purpose room is small, and it's and those are principally, those have been meetings rather than athletic events, because our existing multi-purpose room is really not a very desirable place to play a basketball game, for example.
Is she on this? Okay, well, Mr. Quisenberry will take them.
Go ahead.
My question is on a similar vein to Mr. Rosales' question, because there's a question of whether this is for the public good. I'd be curious if you can tell us how many students, by percentage, are attending free of tuition or by supported tuition?
We allocate about 5% of our budget to supporting tuition routinely. It's varied, and there's a range that it depends on the application pool and the need for financial aid assistance in a given year.
So can you give us roughly the number of students that can attend there unbarred by their ability to pay?
Kathy, how many do we have that are on?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
How many students are attending based on their ability to pay?
Yeah. 10 to 15.
10 to 15?
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She's calling it. No. Go ahead, Ms. Adams.
I did, Ms. Petrie passed it to Mr. Quisenberry to have the last question on this issue so that we don't take up more time than necessary, because it's more legislative than anything else. So I would ask for us to just close it at this session and call a vote on this issue, and then we could always come back to the school at a later time. And thank you.
I'm not sure.
Do we need to?
We should have discussion right now, I think.
We need to do more. Okay.
I think so.
All right. So.
Microphone, please, Astrid. Microphone.
How many of these students, you say 10 to 15, to get a tuition assistance, how many of them go free?
Right now.
Well, at present, none of them go free. They are making some contribution to tuition fees.
Other
people are overlooked on this.
Mr. O'Connor has one.
Well, Mr. Frelick explained it to my satisfaction that the only reason we're looking at this is because it's a legal necessity. And it sounds to me like we're trying to establish ourselves as a 27-member committee to micromanage the school. I don't think this is going the right direction at all.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. Mr. Nudo.
Yeah, I'm not sure the line of questioning as far as how many people are on scholarship or how many people are receiving reduced admission costs. If when we're talking about public good, we're talking about the availability of a good education in an alternate fashion. So I think it follows that any student attending there is receiving a good education and is part of the public good. So I'm not sure that line of questioning follows what we're trying to achieve here.
Mr. James.
And following up on Al's, I would just say that since they've already had a bond in the past and their record sort of speaks for themselves, they've been good stewards of the money, and anything that helps children, we all should be for.
Call the question. There you go. Second.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming and presenting that information for us. At this point, we will call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Nay.
Thank you very much. I'm turning it back on to Chair Weibel.
Okay.
If I could just, on that issue, just point out one other thing. It's in your agenda packet. The county board is required to hold a public hearing on this bond issue, and that public hearing is scheduled for 6:45 next Thursday evening, right before the county board meeting. So we will need you to be here at 6:45 for that public hearing. Thank you.
We have to have a quorum. Okay, let's go back to the beginning, closer to the beginning of the agenda. Ms. Court, Highway and Transportation.
We need 6:45 for 5:45. We would have a meeting.
Good evening. The Highway and Transportation. First order of business is the monthly report for the county and township motor fuel tax claim for March 2011.
Second.
Open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Oh. I didn't see you say anything.
I'm sorry. It's 18.
Okay, sorry.
Hmm. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? We'll now hear from my county engineer.
Okay, first item, resolution appropriating county motor fuel tax funds for county road maintenance for January 1st through December 31st of 2011. There is a resolution as well as a estimate of maintenance costs in your packet. This is our yearly resolution, only an estimate that we have to provide to IDOT on basically the materials and day labor and maintenance operations and how much motor fuel tax funds. We estimate that we will extend during the 2011 maintenance of the county roads.
Move approved. Second.
It's open for discussion. Patty?
I'm on the right page. My questions pertain to page 21. I have two questions. They're information questions. These are estimates in your past experience when you've done these yearly estimates. How close have these been on target, or what is the range of percentage of going over or under on the estimates?
We can't go over, so we can only be under based on what.
So
this is a cap.
I see. I didn't understand that. Okay.
Sure is.
And then my second question, it says contract turned into 1,500. Was that contract with somebody, with some entity specifically, or is that just general right now?
That is just general contract. I mean, it's nothing that we've contracted with anybody to date. You got $694,000, and you'll see some of that in there is like centerline striping. We don't do our own striping, so we have to contract with somebody. Actually, that's why this is at your meeting right now, because we need to have the bid for the centerline striping, and until we send an estimate to IDOT, they won't even allow us to have bids for the items that are on here. So the majority of that contract is centerline striping of the roadways.
Okay. Thank you for all those clarifications.
You bet.
Al? Yeah. On page 19, I see Mr. Hooten's attesting. On page 20, I see Mr. Mark Sheldon. I don't think he's our clerk any longer. Is that just a typo?
Yeah. It'll be corrected by the time it's at the board agenda.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Al?
Are you finished? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, the next item is the resolution appropriating county motor fuel tax funds for the salary and estimated expenses for county engineer for December 1st of 2010 through November 30th of 2011. So this is motor fuel tax expended for the county engineer's salary and estimated expenses.
Move approval.
Second.
Open for discussion.
Patty? I have a run of information questions here. Is the county engineer's salary always paid out of motor fuel tax month funds?
Yes, and then there's also monies that come from the federal aid secondary funds that reimburse the motor fuel tax funds 50% back for the county engineer's salary. So it doesn't come from tax levy. As far as the county's tax levy, it comes from motor fuel tax funds and federal aid funds.
And this is by statute, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then my second information question is this $21,000 that just says for expenses, and there's no details for these expenses. Could you elaborate on that?
I would say half of it, Deb, can you, half of it's car expense, right? And the other half is travel and those types of things for outside meetings outside of the county. Specifically in my contract, the county pays X number of dollars. I don't have a county vehicle, so the county pays me to drive my own vehicle, and I pay for all my gas, my insurance, all that kind of stuff, instead of driving a county vehicle and having to deal with it through that means. So about half of it's for that, and the other half is for, like I'm going to Minneapolis next week for the National Association of County Engineers meeting, which I'm very active in, those types of things that I need to do to kind of continue my professional status in the county engineer's ranks.
Any more discussion? Carol?
Yes, ma'am. I believe I'm just a little bit confused by the resolution itself. This salary and estimated expense of the county engineer, this is just for you. This is what we need to talk about as far as your personal salary for the year.
Right.
What are you looking at? Or is this thing, I'm a little bit confused about which one this is.
If I could, just as a reminder to the board and those of you who are new, Jeff has a 6-year contract with the county board, which was established last fall. This is a wage freeze for the county engineer for fiscal year 2011. It's the same salary he was paid in fiscal year 2010. The reimbursables are also not increased, and this has already been adopted and approved by the county board with his employment agreement.
Nothing to do with the departmental increases that we...
No, this, no.
That's what I'm saying. This is not the same.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Alright, item 3, resolution authorizing the county board chair to sign the local agency agreement for federal participation for the county Highway 11 bridge. You'll see here not only the resolution authorizing the board chair to sign the joint agreement, but as well as a copy of the joint agreement. There was already a resolution before the board which appropriated the motor fuel tax funds in order to match this. You'll see it's a $1,025,000 project. This joint agreement basically will be receiving $820,000 from the state, actually through the state from the feds for this project. And this is just a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the agreement.
Move to approve. Second.
Open for discussion.
Me again.
Ready?
Since I don't know what LA stands for, what is the $205,000?
Local agency.
I'm sorry, what?
Local agency. It's 80-20, the cost of the project.
So this is the cost to the county, $205,000.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay. Next item is item number 4, intergovernmental agreement for Olympian Drive. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to go through this. And I guess I don't see the need to read through it sitting here before you, but obviously it would answer any questions that you may have with the Olympian Drive. Obviously this project's already been approved. This is just the intergovernmental agreement giving the city of Champaign, the city of Urbana, and us the ability to work together to actually complete. There are two Olympian Drive projects. You'll see Project A and Project C. Project on the far west end is the city of Champaign project, and the project that we've talked about quite a bit is the project from Apollo over to Lincoln Avenue. So,
a motion by Betts and a second by Ralph. What time?
I just said it was just one motion. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to vote at the same time.
I wanted to vote at the same time. I'm opposed.
I was doing one motion at a time.
Okay. You approved and you second. It's open for discussion. Tom Beck.
The question I have is, has the city of Urbana approved it in the form that we have it in our packet?
Yes. They actually wrote the Olympian Drive IGA, and we wrote the Lincoln Avenue IGA and passed them back and forth.
And we're talking about the one that's marked draft right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The Olympian Drive one was actually drafted by the city of Urbana, has been looked at and approved by the state's attorney's office as far as its form. No issues there as far as I know.
May I have a follow-up?
Mm-hmm.
At our caucus, I know Mr. McGinty raised an issue, and I think if he wants to raise it now, I'll raise it unless you want to go for it. The question I have is, this is, where is Olympia Drive between Cunningham Avenue, US 45, page 30, and Duncan Road will provide a necessary major east-west transportation link across the north side of the community. That's the language. I'm a little concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Extra.
Same thing.
Okay, Al.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, same question. I think that should be amended in terms of accurately portraying what this draft is all about.
I move that that paragraph be deleted from the draft.
Second.
Second,
that motion, Madam
Chair. I have an additional comment on another portion of it. Let's vote on this, Tom's motion.
Okay, we've got a motion on the floor. You want to speak to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Specific to the amendment, as has been discussed ad nauseum over time, we have talked about whether people are generally okay or not with the concept of Route 45 being in the equation or not, essentially. Jeff,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that, for me, I'll just speak for me personally, I don't believe that having 45 in any planning documents is an issue at all. But in this intergovernmental, I think that we made very clear as a county board that we are interested in only talking about Lincoln Avenue, about from its current terminus of Olympian near Apollo to Lincoln only, and connecting Lincoln. And so it's my belief that this IGA should reflect only that.
speak to my motion? I know I'm, the reason I addressed this, Brendan did raise it up in our caucus, and I know other people had the concern. I actually think probably long-term it's a good idea to do it to 45, but we had a long, drawn-out battle over all sorts of these issues. And what I don't want to see is 10 years from now when people decide, gee, I think it is time to go to Route 45, and then them come back and say the county board intended to do that, look at this document. I don't want it being used for that purpose. Let that board 10 or 15 years from now when I'm off, let them have that fight all over again without me resorting to this.
I can pretty much tell you that this was a cut and paste from an IGA when it was supposed to, you know, when they were talking about it going all the way across. So I don't think, unless I'm wrong, that the city of Urbana is going to have any great issue with that phrase being deleted.
Okay, got Michael, Lynn, Ralph, Carol, and Christopher. Michael?
Me? I didn't have my hand up. I don't have anything to say.
Oh, you didn't have your hand up?
Brendan is here.
I'll try to switch less.
Okay, Ralph, you care.
I seconded the motion to delete this because it isn't part of the action to being taken at this time. On the other hand, I do not believe that inclusion of it obligates us in any way. I think it's a tempest in a teapot. If we get it out of there, we'll probably have less fussing right now, which is probably a good idea.
I think Carol, Christopher... You're bad. Okay, Christopher.
Jeff, what's the procedure here if we do want, if this motion to delete that is successful? I assume we have to go back to the city and the cities and ensure that they're okay with deleting this.
Point of information. We're the first ones to look at it, so we can make any change. We are the first ones to look at it.
So this
we're the first one to bring it before our formal body, not the first one to look at it.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess a follow-up then. This is not, we are the first to see this has not already been approved by the cities of Urbana and the city of Champaign.
Mike, this hasn't been approved, right?
It's
talked about.
And sent to the city council for next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, then so...
My question is on the paragraph regarding funding. So do we want to deal with the motion on the floor before we talk about the funding side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Patty?
I watched the Urbana City Council meeting last night. All of this was discussed at that meeting, and Bill Gray mentioned toward the end of that discussion that there's really no question in their minds that they're going to 45, and so it's really important for us to get this one, whereas out of here right now.
Any more discussion? We're going to vote on the amended motion. Amendment. Amendment.
Mm-hmm. We'll just do that amendment.
All in favor of the amendment to strict Olympian Drive between Cunningham and 45? Is that it? Okay. Draft, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Now we can go back to the original motion as amended. Okay, Al.
God, I'm sure Ryan will contribute. On page 34, I have a question of a legal nature. Discussed this with Ms. Busey, and I just want to make sure we're clear on this, because this is the function of the board and the county board chair and the engineer is different than what it is in the next one. But if I go to page 34 and look at paragraph 8, further actions, I don't want to read the whole thing, but it says in the middle, the mayor and the city manager of Champaign, the mayor and the city engineer of Urbana, and the county board chair and its county engineer are hereby authorized by approval of this agreement by the respective governing bodies
Champaign-Urbana, and County to execute any such documents necessary to carry out the terms of this agreement. Then if you go over to page 35 under funding, about the middle of that page, middle of that paragraph, the balance of funding for the approximately 16.5 projects A and C will come from federal surface transportation, the urban STPU funding, in the amount of $2.5 million. If the $16.5 million from the Illinois Jobs Now capital bill, the Illinois Commerce Commission, and the STPU is not sufficient to complete the design, land acquisition, and construction for the projects A and C, then the parties shall consider using either additional STPU funding, a local match, and other available funding to amend this. Now, in the other document, it's clear that this will come back on page 39 under paragraph 4, that the any changes on paragraph 4, any changes in the scope of work in terms of the contract, Project X, would exceed the costs to be paid by the county and set forth in the intergovernmental agreement will require prior approval of the county board. And so Deb has semi-convinced me that amend means it comes back to the county board, but in that previous paragraph, even though it may not apply to funding, it does say that the county board chair and the engineer have full authority to enact these things. And so I want to be sure that this language is clear, that it does come back to the county board for any additional funding. I'm fairly clear that Deb is right, but I don't know why we can't insert a similar sentence in the funding portion as we have in the other. I guess.
Point of information. The county board chair is authorized to sign documents only with the consent of the county board. Period. And by acceptance of that, we're only subject to it. I'm forced because of time. Sometimes we have to do it. But I sign it at the authorization of this body.
And I don't have a problem with that. I just don't know why we can't enter additional language from the same comment here under funding so that we're clear on this and there's no confusion. Thank you.
Opportunity to, interpret. You know, why leave it to interpretation?
Okay, Ryan.
That hit on one of my points exactly. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but to me, when you combine the language that he's talked about along with paragraph 15 of that that says no amendment to this agreement shall be effective unless it is writing and signed by the parties here too. In a previous paragraph, we said who the parties here too are, and for the county, it's the county board chair and the county engineer. I don't believe Pius would certainly do that. However, maybe he's not. Maybe we don't know that, but regardless, to me, it seems like they, whoever that chair is, does have the legal authority to do that.
There's no description of parties, you see, and that's why you need to have clarification of who the parties truly are.
Okay, Patty.
Okay, you may tell me I'm out of order, but with that, this is an important comment. If you go to page 42, which actually puts us into the next resolution.
I know.
It's paragraph 11, and at last night's meeting, Bill Gray suggested that the last two sentences of that paragraph 11 be struck. Now, that fits into this conversation we're presently having, so I just mention that now before we get to the next resolution.
What was the reason for that?
Can we ask Mr. Munson to answer that question?
I was not there yesterday. I can't.
Point of order.
Please, thank you.
I think actually we're on one. We haven't had a past amendment. We have a motion on the floor regarding the first agreement, and we're talking about the second one.
Okay. Sorry about that.
The chair has to rule on the point.
Okay, can you answer?
Well, if it's simply, and maybe it is, inserting that language that says any increase in local cost shall be caused by an amendment to this agreement into paragraph 11, I think that's not going to be an issue. What But if they're, what we don't want to have is everything that an engineer changes and every minute detail and change in cost. Say we're out on a project and the cost goes up some X amount of dollars and there's a change order. We don't want everything to have to come back to the board, obviously. If there's a increase in the local cost share, obviously it's got to come back to the board because we've got to go ahead and pass a resolution authorizing the expenditures of those funds. But you guys really don't want to be involved in every step of this thing, signing everything that has to go before Pius or the county board chair and myself. I guess the intent is that if there's an increase in total funds out of the pocket of the county, that we would want just to come back to the county board. Other than that, you guys need to do what you need to do, and we need to do what we need to do, I guess.
Okay, Steve, then Carol, and then Ron, and Al.
Well, thanks, Ray. I was just wondering if it wouldn't suffice to stick a disclaimer in there not to exceed $1.1 million for the county share and be done with it. Well, we need to have some insurance.
There is no county share in the Olympian Drive project. Right now, there's $0 coming from the county in the Olympian Drive project.
This says we're going to pay $1.12
million. We already are on Oak Avenue. We need to stick with Olympian Drive, because that's what we're talking about. Olympian Drive, there's no local share whatsoever right now in that project.
Okay, Ron?
Okay. Well, and Jeff touched on, I mean, my primary topic on this, too. I mean, the language is a concern for me, but you said it exactly right. Any cost to the county on this is going to be an increase on the local cost share because our portion was zero.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking back to days back when I first came on the board and we were dealing with the money issues that had been handed to us for many, many years before that even. We're signing a potentially an open-ended contract here almost saying that we're going to share in the cost of these things. So, I'm just so uncomfortable with that. It just continues to lead us into it. What happens when we get into this project, and I've seen it over and over again in my time on this board. You know, we get there, and then it says we're too far in to go back out now, so now we got to pay it. Well, I'm not supportive of this unless we have a zero cost share in this like we were told all along.
Who's next?
Okay, Al.
Okay. I'm getting this very weird feeling that they're anticipating a heck of a lot more money needed, and that's why we're starting to see these changes take place. And this, in the next resolution, talking about pulling that $2.2 million out. I agree, Ron, completely. There seems to me that when this comes to shove, we sign this off, and then all of a sudden we're stuck with not $1.1 million, or maybe $1.5 million, or 1.7, depending upon what happens. We're stuck. We need to have a guarantee that $1.1 million is it. That's what we vote for, and that's what we're going to pay. Period. Okay. I know we're on Olympia, but there's
okay,
money involved here.
Okay. Then Astra and then Tom.
Thank you. Okay. As far as putting a cap on it, there's two ways of doing it. You can say right now we want to put $1.1 million or X number of dollars cap on it. The problem is the next county board can change that by discussion and negotiation. Okay? Or we can put in there language like we have in the Lincoln Avenue contract that says that it will come back to the county board to be discussed and negotiated. Either way, it is impossible to say we're only going to spend $1.1 million on anything because the next county board can say we change our minds. We cannot bind a future county board on anything. And this will be for a future county board. We can put a manager that says that if there's an increase in expenses, like is in the Lincoln Avenue agreement, that it has to come back to this board, be discussed, negotiated, and voted on at that time. So, my viewpoint, putting a cap on something like a number is really not a good idea. Let's make sure that we bring it back to this board to discuss it.
Parliamentary inquiries, please. Can Can we have clarification on what the motion on the floor is at this time, please?
My motion is that we add to the resolution here that any changes in the scope of work and the terms.
Any changes in the scope of work and the terms of the contract for projects A and C, which exceed the costs to be paid for by the county as set forth in this intergovernmental agreement, will require prior approval of the county board as set forth in paragraph 11.
Could you identify what page you're on, please?
I'm on page 39 of the next.
The point of order is the resolution you're looking at right now, this motion is for Olympian Drive, not Lincoln.
Yeah, I understand that, but I am lifting the statement from the other one to insert in this one.
There, in this one.
I add a letter, page 35, paragraph, at the end of paragraph 11.
Please, I'd be...
See, here's the problem. If you look at that prior sentence, there is a statement here. It says, additional STPU funding, a local match.
Yes.
And so they've opened it up. If you want to eliminate, if you want to say zero, Tom, that's fine, but you got, well, you can eliminate a local match in there, and then you've got what you want. But this is the problem. You have inserted a local match, which opens up the opportunity for additional funding. It's not, you know, Jeff said, well, it's zero, but it's not. If you would have put in, if you left out a local match, I'd buy it. But it doesn't say that. It says a local match. And so now the can is open.
But now to take everything else and consider using to shell, the party shell amend this agreement, and then eliminate it. That needs to be done. And that.
Well, I still have a problem with who the parties are, like Ron does. So I want to identify who the parties are, and that's the county board.
I'm going to turn it back over to the county engineer.
Well, the parties to this agreement are Champaign Urbana and the county, obviously. Here's, in all likelihood, and what would happen if, for some reason, this job went over whatever dollar amount is in here, is that there's only $2.5 million in STPU funding in this project. STPU funding can be up to 50% of any project in the Champaign-Urbana Urbanized Area Transportation Study, or CUROTS. So the likelihood of a local match having to come from anybody's pockets for the Olympian Drive project is very limited. So I believe if you just want to take that out of there, I don't think it's going to be a big heart attack situation as far as the local match stuff. If you just want to insert what we put into paragraph 11 from the Lincoln Avenue one, it says, any increase in local cost shall be caused by an amendment to this agreement. I think either one is going to pretty much have the same effect, I would imagine.
Yeah. For my administrator.
I wonder if you're on page 35, under paragraph 11, funding, where it says, the third line from the end of that paragraph, where it says, for projects A and C, then the parties, if instead of the word parties we used, then the governing bodies of Champaign-Urbana and the county shall consider using, and leave the rest of it the same, so that you define who the parties are.
Okay, that was your motion, Al.
Yes, ma'am.
You want Deb, you see, to restate what she just said?
Call him, Mr. Sapp. Let me think
about
this.
Okay, Mr. Sapp.
I got an idea.
I'm going to vote on this regardless of what's put in the language, but it's a legal document. And we have stated here what our opinion is, and although we may have some attorneys, and we're talking about cutting and pasting out of one document into another document that may, because I'm not a lawyer, conflict with something else in that document. We should instruct our attorney, this was created by someone, but we should instruct our attorney that we want this document foolproof, that we have zero match within this document before we even vote on it.
Right.
That's my opinion. It should be done by an attorney.
Okay, Stephanie.
Finally.
Second.
My concept was move to defer to full board where we can see that sort of modification. May I explain further? I think we're going to have this exact problem on both documents. It would be my opinion that the most efficient way of handling this evening would be to collect those comments, make those modifications, come back to full board after the attorney has wordsmithed it to everyone's satisfaction. So no action tonight, but to discuss it and defer both to full board. That would be my intended motion.
I'll second for purpose of discussion.
We're going to defer.
Okay, then, open for discussion. Stephanie?
Thank you. I agree 100% with Brendan, because if you leave anything to interpretation, I don't care if it you cannot give an inch on any of these documents. I agree with Larry. I think that we have to make sure, and even for the future board, it's all about the intention of what this resolution means. And that's what will be cited. So we have to make sure that we have everything wordsmithed correctly so that there's no margin of error, that our intention will be misinterpreted. So I think that we need to take a step back and make sure that this document is worded the way that we feel that it's important to be worded, so that our intention is clear from now on into the future. Thank you.
Madam Chair, point of order. There's a motion to defer on the floor, but the motion that was actually on the floor was an amendment. And you cannot defer the main motion right now. It's out of order. You can only defer the amendment unless the person who, and I would withdraw my second to the motion to defer, and then we could withdraw the amendment and then the deferral. If we're going to be technical, that's what we need to do.
Okay. You are correct, sir.
Point of information, who was the primary mover?
You moved to defer. I seconded.
Oh, so I will withdraw that, and so that we can deal with the amendment. The
amendment has to be withdrawn or acted on.
Okay.
I will withdraw my motion.
I withdraw a second.
Okay.
Now you can make a motion to defer.
Now we're going.
So I'd like to move to defer.
Okay.
Because there's only one item in front of us, I will move to defer just that one to the full board. And someone should help me here, because I would still like to have discussion on other comments that we have prior to acting on that motion.
And I would second the motion to defer with the proviso that the board can continue to entertain comments through email and through directions to the chair of the committee and to the highway engineer regarding our concerns.
Can I say something? I'm not going to be here next Thursday. There's no way for me to be here. Did not intend that for that to happen, but is there anything in this agreement engineering wise that I need to look at before the board meeting, or are we just worried about the dollars and cents of this thing?
Okay, Steve Moser.
Jeff, I was concerned about condemnation on that property, and if something needs to be inserted in there that quick take, if it's going to drag through condemnation, that you've got to get control of a right-of-way true quick take rather than taking it to court and fighting a condemnation thing all the way through, really going to put a delay in things. I know you had to use it on Curtis Road.
Well, we asked to use it. We never got to that point. It actually all kind of took care of itself. But we did ask the state legislature to give us the authority for quick take. We just never had to use it.
You got any preliminary feel about how hard it's going to be to get this right away?
For Olympian Drive?
Yep.
Well, you've got the Squire family, where two of them are for it and one of them is opposed. I don't know how that's going to play out, but other than that, there's really nobody to deal with that's going to be of any great difficulty.
I think it's got a big, big difficulty.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, Al. Al Nudo.
I'll pass. I'll pass. Thank you.
Pass it.
This is an engineering question. On page 31, first whereas, at the top of the page, it talks about the design and construct a section of Olympian Drive from Champaign Avenue to Duncan Road. Maybe I fell asleep at the meeting that we had the huge long discussion on all of this, but I don't remember any discussion about that section or us approving that section.
A.
And I don't think, did we approve A?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
C has never been of any controversy. That was in the document to always go over to Duncan Avenue. Is going through one or two property owners that aren't objectionable to it. It was just kind of, it was in the Illinois Jobs Now that both of those projects would get a piece of that money in order to be constructed. It was just never of any great, I guess, public controversy over Project C, so it really kind of just kind of skirted along with the whole Olympian Drive project.
Yes, I did see the funding for it. I just didn't know that we had taken an official action on it. Thank you.
I just want to speak to the deferment that's on the floor right now. I'm concerned that if we move it to the April 21st board meeting without A, you there, and B, without any real time between now and then to understand the changes, and we're going to find ourselves in an equally disastrous position. So I would recommend to Mr. McGinty if we could move it back to the Committee of the Whole so that we could really have adequate time to address this issue.
If I may, I would find that acceptable if we're not under a time constraint that I'm not aware of.
I'm not aware of any humongous time constraint for Lincoln Avenue, although for Olympian Drive, we're pushing it. So
it means
the longer we wait, the tighter it's going to get on us. I mean, Lincoln Avenue is out in 2015, Olympian Drive's in 2013. So we're really starting to push the envelope on backing up of that timeline on Olympian Drive.
When we discussed before, when we had all the prior discussion, we were talking about 18 months, and that was last two months.
Say that again.
We talked about 18 months being the things turning into a pumpkin at that point. Now it has to happen. I'm not sure I understand why.
I guess I'm not prepared to exactly answer that question at this time because I didn't know it was going to come up. But
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a 5-foot drawer full of stuff. I could find it, but I can't pull it out of my brain at this particular instance. Okay. To let you know.
Yes, I'd like to say I'd prefer to defer to the full county board meeting because, frankly, we're going to depend on our legal advice to make the language correct to reflect our will. And that does not that does not preclude us from deferring it again if anybody runs into issues with that result to the next committee of the whole in May. So I don't see any problem with deferring, as Brendan has suggested it, with the understanding that if the legal language or there's additional engineering questions, we have the opportunity to defer again.
Okay, Carol, and then Ron.
I just wanted to follow up on the timeline. I appreciate the committee of the whole structure for this reason, is that it's designed for us to get questions answered without us feeling that we have to decide here as a board, as if this is the county board meeting. This timeline issue, of course, we just got it for this particular committee of the whole, and I think some of the issues that have been brought up are real legal questions that really need to be addressed so that we're signing or authorizing a document that we'll be comfortable with in the coming time. So I don't think that we need to feel the whole pressure, we got to move right now kind of thing, really makes us do things that we probably shouldn't do. At this point, my recommendation stands that we move it to the committee of the whole so that we can really have time to really separate some of these issues out in these two locations and come out with an agreement that we all can really work with.
I think not us to sort it out. We have attorney.
Well, I mean, us, our attorney.
Okay, Ryan, then Tom.
I have two questions. One, would it be, particularly if we're going to continue looking at having this back at full board next week, I'd suggest that perhaps myself and Mr. Nudo, Mr. Betts, and Mr. McGinney possibly meet with Mr. Blue very soon to discuss some of these issues so that we are at least on the same page what the concerns are when it goes to the state's attorney to review. Would you be open to that, Jeff? And I'm throwing this out there without obviously asking Tom.
Okay, but I don't think you could set up a committee, though.
Well, we would not be. I mean, we wouldn't be in violation of any Open Meetings Act.
The lawyers certainly can play with language, but I think that there are more than language issues here. I think there are policy questions, and I think that only the board can deal with the policy questions. Mr. Mosier raised one of them, and that is the question of quick take versus regular in eminent domain. It's a legal issue, but it's also a policy question that this board deals with. And one of the things that struck me very early on is that paragraph 8, part A, grants carte blanche in terms of including, if necessary, eminent domain for wider way acquisition. Well, this property is in the territory of Champaign County. It's, I would presume, our state's attorney's office, that would be 34, that would be acting under eminent domain. We're giving them that authority in advance of knowing what's going on, and of course quick takes a whole other separate issue in terms of how you deal with that. And of course, whenever you're talking about eminent domain litigation, you're talking about finances, money. So I think there are actual policy questions as well as just the legal terminology issues.
And I'm fine with that. I mean, if it's inappropriate to meet or no one wants to meet, that's okay. And I don't need any more meetings in my life. But my follow-up part two of that is I would like to request that we have the state's attorney here when this comes back to us so that if and when we have questions at that time, I'm sure we will, they could be here to answer it.
Hey, Astra, and then Stan Gang. Okay, Stan.
Well, since Carol got to plug Cal, I'm going to plug the standing committees. If we had a facilities committee that was looking over all this and discussing it one-on-one, Mr. Blue wouldn't have to sit here and hear 27 different ideas and comments and go back through it all and try to ascertain which is best and which is not. And those members that are not on that standing committee that would come to those committee meetings could have their input and guide that committee and ask all the right questions. But that way, Mr. Blue is dealing with a group of people that are really fine-tuning this, and we don't have an hour-long discussion about what might fit and what might not fit. So like what Ron was saying, he was suggesting four people go talk to him. I've always felt like when you have a committee that can deal one-on-one with your officials, instead of 27 people giving them ideas, it seems to work a little better. But thank you for giving me time to have my plug.
Thank you. Again, a point of information, either Ms. Busey or Mr. Blue, or maybe Chair Weibel. So we discussed this and we honed this document to our satisfaction and we pass it, both documents, hypothetically. Then it goes back to Champaign and Urbana, is that accurate? And then they, in turn, have a chance to hypothetically adjust the document to satisfy themselves. Ms. Busey is not only nodding her head yes, but smiling at the thought of all this process.
Yeah, but you can't have people amending documents that have already been voted on. And you'd have to come back to you to be voted on again. So we need to get a document that everybody can vote on that doesn't have to be changed.
That's what I wanted to totally understand in this iterative process that we're going to be going through. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The motion on the floor is to defer this item, which is only regarding Olympian at this time. Regarding Carol's comment, I certainly understand the desire to wait. I am sensitive to the fact that the location study needs to start on Olympian. So I'm not going to amend my existing motion. I want to stick to us asking questions that need clarification specific to Olympian Drive issue now, that we can direct for legal opinion modification to this document to come back to us for review at full board, and I'd like to focus on that now.
Are you referring to the full board meeting next week or? Okay.
Yeah, although it's.
I'm just looking for other comments that people have about this. In my opinion, I think that we've addressed the ones regarding Olympian Drive. I would be prepared to vote on it unless anyone else has any other issues.
Okay, Larry.
Well, I guess my only other comment again is that we got three parties involved, so we have our own opinions on how we want this thing written. I can guarantee you Urbana's is different. All the three attorneys. We pay legal people to make these documents to protect our interests. And if it means us making our document, sending it to them, them changing it, and having to send it back to us, get the three attorneys together and say, here's our interest. This, my attorney, this is what I want. Your attorney do this and your attorney do that. And come back with a document that everybody can agree on. I'll vote no at that time, just like me.
I mean, one point for you all to remember, the state's attorney has reviewed both of these documents and believed they were both fine to be submitted to you for consideration. So I understand you've raised an issue with paragraph 11 in the Olympian Drive resolution that is a concern, and you want to address that with the state's attorney for additional review. But the state's attorney, Steve Ziegler, has reviewed both of these documents and said they were fine to forward to you for consideration.
Okay. Miranda.
So it should be pretty quick work for him to verify whatever we just gave him. Yep.
The policy issue.
Okay. We got a motion to let our legal staff review this and look at paragraph 11 on both the documents.
We're talking about just the first the first one. That was the only thing that's on the floor at this time.
Mr. Betts is referring to the policy, so you talk about paragraph 8 as well?
Paragraph 8, yeah, under eminent domain.
Okay.
who is to do the eminent domain, whether it's going to be county or city, who is going to fit the bill?
Well, I can tell you that the state's attorney's office has said in no uncertain terms they are not going to do the eminent domain. If it has to be done, it's going to be outside counsel, or it's going to be the city of Urbana doing it, because they don't have time and they're not going to do it.
Yeah, we need to put that in writing, because outside counsel will cost us $50,000. That's one reason. It's not just a policy question. It's a financial
question.
Plus, the document specifically states that we're responsible for that aspect. It doesn't defer back to the city of Urbana. So
it specifically says that in the right-of-way that the county shall be the lead agency. But it doesn't talk exactly about what all that means.
Considering all of the legal questions that have come up this evening, I guess I have great concerns as to the concentration and focus of the legal advice given to us.
John.
Well, I don't want to belabor this. I'm really tired of this subject. But through all of the discussion, it's been a known fact that one of the reasons they wanted us on board was because they wanted us to do the eminent domain, because they can't do it outside the city limits. So we're going to be stuck with it. Let's don't try and evade that issue.
Okay, Diane, and then Pius.
I'm sitting here wondering, when we did the Curtis Road, that involved all three, right?
Right.
How did we do that? I mean, we had families there that we had to deal with over a period of time. Who was in that case?
We worked together between the state's attorney's office and myself and the city of Champaign and Fred Stevens, their attorney, and we drafted everything jointly, negotiated it jointly. It had to come to the county board for approval to ask for quick take authority, and that was approved. There wasn't any great tight team, any great wording in that particular document either that said exactly how it was going to be handled. I just can't foresee a document where you can write down every possible scenario of everything that can possibly happen in a project of this magnitude. It's just almost impossible. I know we want to, but we'll be here for
Well, that's
years.
What I kind of remembered, and we did come back when there were things that we had to deal with. So I don't see why this has to be that way.
If I have mentioned,
I'd like to reiterate what Mr. Jay just said. It's true the county would be in charge of any sort of eminent domain like that. However, I have talked to a number of officials from Urbana. They said they would provide legal counsel to that, and that's where the money costs is legal counsel. So yes, we still have the lead person for that, but the point is that Urbana will provide legal counsel for it, and I think we should try to get that into the contract.
Yes. And I think that what Chair Weibel just said is probably very accurate, which is why I have no problem with inserting a sentence that says that the cost of legal expenses for purchase of the eminent domain shall be borne by the city of Urbana. Since our state's attorney said they're not going to do it.
Absolutely.
And therefore someone is going to do it, because we've seen the parties in this particular instance, having been on this board a long time, I think these are not going to be easy parties to deal with, and I think someone's going to end up in court. I think Mr. Mosier would agree this is going to land in court.
Well, I agree with you. If we're under the gun as far as time constraints, you're going to have to use quick take if you got to condemn it. And there's no way you're going to be able to do condemnation on this thing in 18 months. I think it needs to be looked at, and I don't think it's our responsibility to pay for
it. So I was saying, let's insert that.
Hey, then, Ron.
everything that we're talking about here in the end all boils down to dollars and cents. We're all trying to get language in here that's going to help us control the bottom line of this project in the end. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't potentially going to cost us money at some point, which takes me back to really my bottom line on this thing. There was a lot of debate on this for months and months. We all know that. We all know how much we went through on this, and this thing passed this board without my vote, obviously, and probably won't have it again, but I still have concern for the county. But it passed this board with the understanding that this portion of this project was going to cost the county $0, and I think that should be in here. We're not agreeing to any more local match on this thing. At least I wouldn't. So, you know, if we have some language in here that says that the county's share of this project is $0, the rest of it, I mean, we do need to clean up the language, but it somewhat takes care of itself.
Call for the question. Okay, we'll vote on deferring it until legal counsel has time to evaluate the question of paragraph 11 and paragraph 8. Saying that the county will not fund any of this part of the project as far as the right-of-way. And I guess it's just a breeze on paragraph 11 we're talking about.
Just the total funding of the project.
Okay, the total funding. All in favor of deferring the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Oh. Anyone opposed?
Yes. I'm opposed.
Did you all want to roll call? But the ayes have it. Okay, we're going to defer this until my thoughts were until the meeting next week. Okay.
Okay, so do we want to move on to the Lincoln Avenue one? Okay, we'll move on to E then. Lincoln Avenue and governmental agreement. Have a similar discussion about.
Is there a motion?
This is move approval.
Second. Okay, it's open for discussion now. James and then Patrick.
Is there a motion?
Yes. Yeah.
For what?
Who made the motion? What's the motion?
To approve.
I have a concern with this. This was discussed in an email between one or two people, but I'm going to voice it. In paragraph 10 on page 42, it discusses the purple alignment as the guide for this project. I know that when we passed the purple alignment, there was a qualification that the road moved no closer to certain property owners in the process of going forward in engineering design. Chair Weibel indicated that in this intergovernmental agreement, we couldn't reiterate that that requirement. But since we are discussing the map in this intergovernmental agreement, it seems it might be appropriate to protect those property owners in the same way we did in our original motion.
An amendment? Are you making?
Point of order. Well, just like for the question.
Okay,
I would suggest, to answer your question, why don't we just have a reference back to that resolution, as outlined in resolution number. Do it that way.
Two things. I agree with referring back to the resolution. There were parameters in there set forth that the board believes in that should be part of the record in an intergovernmental agreement. And I would, I'm wondering if there is a rush on this issue at all. There doesn't seem to be the rush that there is on the Olympian issue. Therefore, I would move to defer this until the next committee of the whole involving the highway committee.
Second. Okay, it's open for debate. The deferment. Christopher.
I wanted to confirm with Mr. Blue that, in fact, the timeline is such that there is essentially no time pressure on the Olympian Drive. RSA, excuse me, on the Lincoln Avenue portion of this. And do you feel it causes undue hardship to the other municipalities involved if this is discussed subsequent to the discussion on the Olympian Drive project? So the reason I ask is it seems like all the issues that we have with Olympian Drive are presumably also going to impact this, so it would be nice to be able to take these agreements one at a time if we have the luxury of doing so.
I think that you can do that. I still hope that we can going to have a conversation here about what in here needs to be adjusted before it comes back to the committee of the whole, so that I have some idea of what we need to try to work on before it comes back.
If I may detail in my motion, I would recommend this similar discussion just like the previous motion.
Well, one of the things that I would like checked on is what I thought I heard Bill Gray say last night at the Urbana City Council meeting, referring to page 42, paragraph 11, and eliminating the last two sentences in that paragraph. Maybe I misheard him, but I thought that's what he suggested to the Urbana City Council.
Madam Chair?
All I can tell you is these agreements were drafted between Bill and I and different attorneys and passed back and forth between he and I, and he never made any mention about paragraph 11 having any kind of issues with it during my conversations with him. So
I think his comment at the Urbana City Council meeting was a result of the discussion that went on at that particular meeting. That's why I really urge us getting clarification on that before we leap too far ahead. Thank you.
I don't care what he said at the meeting. We should decide what we want, not what we think somebody else wants. We should decide what we want, and hopefully we'll want something that we think they'll agree with. So, as far as what Mr. Gray may have said, since we don't really know what he said, I think that's irrelevant. Let's talk about what we want in here and what we don't want. And we think that's agreeable.
We get Christopher, Al, and then Ron.
Okay.
I mean, James, I'm sorry. It's all right.
At the risk of commenting on what might just be hearsay, I'd like to state for the record that I would not be open to those lines being struck.
So I wrote them, and I'm not either. So.
Okay, Al.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is by far the better of the two written resolutions.
Well, thanks, Al, because I actually wrote this one. I appreciate that. I was waiting for somebody to say that.
So you do owe me a lunch on this one. But one question I had under paragraph 6, Jeff. The maximum two engineers provided by the county.
Yes.
It said it's a sole obligation. Any other personnel costs incurred by a Bandit to oversee shall not be borne by the county. Do you anticipate any additional costs for the two engineers, or is this right within your domain of your regular staff doing it during regular hours?
Yeah, this is our people working just like we did on Windsor Avenue, like we did on Curtis Road. I mean, we have a couple of staff people out there helping to oversee the construction, doing the testing and the monitoring of the project. But what I don't want to have happen is, City of Urbana, the City of Champaign hires some outside engineering firm guy, because they don't have the time to do it, and they try to bill 50% of that or so to us. So it is kind of, that's something that that kind of happened and to some extent on a project where they brought in a bookkeeper to kind of do the books for the federal aid project. And I just wanted to clarify that our sole obligation was two engineers on the job.
I just have no changes to this. This is a great document, Jeff. It's almost like the Constitution.
Well, I guess I would raise the same point that I raised on the last one. And we know there was a lot of debate on all of this, and the county's share of this one was estimated to be $1.1 million. I would like to see the last sentence of paragraph 11 stricken. And after, on the previous sentence there where it ends at county, something in there saying that, let me think about this. The county's portion not to exceed $1.1 million, which is what we've been told all along.
Unrealistic. I mean, basically, that's what you're saying now, because you're saying that any increase in the local cost should be an amendment to this agreement. If it comes back and they want to amend it because they want more money, you guys say no. You've essentially capped it. But there may be some really good reason why it has to go beyond $1.1 million. We can't sit here and tell you exactly what's going to happen, but there may be some real legitimate reason that the county wants something done that the city doesn't want done, what have you. And to put a hard cap like that without having any discussions, I think, is tough on any project.
Okay, Steve,
13's got the same language in it where the band is going to pay for the right-of-way acquisition, and I just wonder if this isn't going to be more difficult than Olympian Drive because you're dealing with more owners that could possibly end up in eminent domain with this one worse than you are the other one, and I don't think we've got any business paying for eminent domain costs that are involved with the acquisition of this right-of-way.
Is it my turn? Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with the paragraph 10 that when we originally passed it, are we then going to put in that wording that the Barron's property will have no less than, I believe it was 200 feet from the road? I think we do need clarification in here. That was one point. The other point is in paragraph 11, I absolutely believe wholeheartedly, because this is how we passed this Olympia Drive, was not to exceed $1.1 million. Should that have to happen, then I believe that there's a responsibility to the taxpayers that we have to again review anything over the $1.1 million. So I would like to see that language implemented into paragraph 11. Thank you.
Southfield just reiterated what I wanted to say. Did you call on me, Lori?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I thought maybe I was mistaken for a couple of owls here. I agree. And I, from the beginning, the only number I can remember that we were responsible for was 1.1, right from the beginning. And now we're discussing perhaps that, something's going to happen where it might be more. But can you give me an explanation a little bit, Jeff, as to what contingency might happen?
I have no idea.
No idea.
No. I can't, but I can, but it, whatever money is spent beyond $2.2 million causes an amendment to the agreement, which comes back to this board. It doesn't get signed by Mr. Weibel. It doesn't get signed by me. It comes directly back to you guys. And if you guys want to tell them, hey, you know, no more money,
then what happens to the project?
That's up to you.
What happens to the project?
What about that?
It stops. Right in the middle.
You think your bank is going to let this project stop?
I hope they have the money.
Okay,
I just wanted to say that there is a motion on the floor for deferment on this issue, and this discussion is supposed to be on that motion.
There's no deferment. The motion included identifying the legal problems that you, with this resolution that you want communicated to legal staff.
Well, and you know, again, this is probably for a future board to consider, I guess, but my point in this is I understand what you're saying. I understand what this says. It says that there would have to be an amendment agreed to, and it would have to come back to this board. I guess my intent in this is to put them on notice, for me at least personally, that $1.1 million is what we were told, and $1.1 million is what I would like to see it cost the county. I mean, to me, I think it gives some inference that, sure, whatever it is, we're there for you. And I just don't like the feel for that.
Okay, John and then C. Rohana.
Well, I concur with Ron. I don't see any problem with us putting a cap on this at what we were told it was going to cost. And if, in fact, it costs more than that, then come back and ask us for the money. But we haven't indicated that we're willing to give you more money. If we don't do anything, they'll come back and say, well, you know, we told you it might be a little more. I think we ought to cap it at what we think we can live with and go with it.
I just want to get it worked around to where I can vote for this someday, and there's no way I can vote for it if there's not a cap.
Going
back to paragraph 11, it says that the $2.2 million balance funds needed to meet the overhead cost shall be divided equally between Urbana and the county. It says the county's cost is $1.1 million. It's there in English, folks, not some foreign language. Paragraph says that if there's an increase, we'll negotiate it. They'll come back to this board. It's there, folks, in English, not foreign language.
I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Weibel. I think Jeff said it very well. It would have to come back. If we want to say no, we can say no. But there might be some real good reason that we might want to say yes. And maybe it will even decrease. Who knows?
Okay, Ralph?
I'd like to remind my colleagues that we voted to approve this project. We voted to go ahead with it. I would also like to remind you that things that are in the contract, in the proposal, are open to discussion. Things that are not in the contract are just that. They're ghosts. If we cannot foresee what is going to happen. If something untoward happens, if the framework of this thing is exceeded, then all parties on the agreement are in on the settlement of it. We will settle those problems when they come up. We're not looking for ghosts under the bed, for goodness sakes.
Okay, is the motion up? Okay, yeah, you can do it.
For calling the question, I'm just asking for a clarification because you are divided on what you want paragraph 11 to say. I don't think legal can remedy that for you. I mean, part of you are saying that the way it's written is just fine because half of $2.2 million is $1.1 million, which is what the county board has committed. So I don't know what you want legal to do with paragraph 11.
Comma, $1.1 million for each.
Thank you. Yeah. Make it specific.
Chair.
Thank you. I think I appreciate Ms. Busey on this issue. It says the 2.2 balance of funds. The
question's been called.
I'm sorry. The question was called, but Ms. Busey wanted to get a clarification because there is no agreement on what the language actually should be, unless we're just going to vote on the deferment of this issue.
Question. If we defeat it,
yeah, we need to vote it down if we're going to discuss.
Oh. What's on the floor is to defer the resolution.
No, it's to call the question.
Okay. They call for the question. All in favor of the defeating it, say aye.
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 Aye. What are we voting on?
Okay, the person, okay. All in favor of the person, say aye.
Aye.
To defer. Call the person, Patty, to defer.
No.
We didn't move to defer.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do a why don't we just do a roll call to defer. It's a call for the question. Let's do a roll call, man.
Okay, roll call to call the question. Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yeah.
Anderson.
Let me answer. This is just
Anderson?
To call the question.
Call the question. No.
Yes. Benzel.
Yes.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
No, because I want to hear Carol's question.
Coert.
No.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Mosier.
Yes.
Muto.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
No.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
Yes.
Weibel.
No.
Okay, pass. Okay. We have a motion to defer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
To the next county committee of the whole.
Can you do an omnibus chair?
Anything else?
Any other business?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. I think we have
a chair report. And no designated consent.
Yeah. Did 1, 2, or 3?
They got left.
They were done. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, and 3 will go on the consent agenda. And that's it for highway.
I suggest we take a 5-minute break before we go on to finance.
Michael?
No, that wasn't my question. although I would like to use the bathroom myself in a couple of minutes. I was just going to ask our parliamentarian and our chair if maybe other business was an appropriate place to discuss what we want on funding, which is why I did end up voting against the call of the question, since we never got around to discussing that.
She's already concluded the business.
Well, we're still on other business.
What we want
the question is other business an appropriate place to answer the question of what we want for the funding paragraph on Section 11, or is that out of bounds? We just have to leave it.
Oh, we do.
Okay.
Put a comma.
Okay. We have a discussion, or does that need a motion then?
You just want to discuss the funding.
I take your point, which is why I ended up voting against the question. So I think
and it's
we
just
should
a discussion item under other business.
That gives some Well, then I think we should give some direction to you guys about which we want.
Quickly, maybe. Madam Chair.
Okay, Tom.
Why? And I think it's superfluous language, but after we do the 2.2, comma, 1.2 from the county, 1.2 from the...
Whatever,
comma, and then we know how much the money is. If that seems to be the problem, we can do it with a comma or a semicolon.
And that's not my problem. I can do math, and I can read, and I can understand what this means. My point was very simple. For me, I would like it to say 1.1 million, no contingencies. Our cap is 1.1 million, period. If that's acceptable to the body, then fine. If it's not, that's okay, too. But that's just my position.
And my point is that that's not a legal issue. And this was deferred so that legal could review it. This body can make that amendment, but I don't think legal can recommend to you that you make that. That's a policy decision.
So you're saying that should be taken up next time and not now?
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, absolutely.
Article 11. Are just asking that we put in Article 11. What they're asking for is what's there. I don't see what change is needed.
Okay, Carol?
Just why I wanted to ask the original clarifying question on this issue. Mr. Blue, we know that sometimes when you build projects, things don't turn out exactly where you think they are. And so the balance could go beyond the $2.2 million. So does this mean that if it goes to $2.8 million, $3 million, then whatever the balance is that we are going to split that, and I think that that's where the confusion is, or can we simply just say the county's portion is $1.1 million, period? I think that's what is being asked here.
You say whatever you want to.
So that's what we wanted to say. So we could have ended this a long time ago.
Can we just go back to maybe there was people, I know there was people that weren't here, and I know Mr. J hates this language, and he's probably going to throw knives at me, but I got to bring it up. You guys passed a resolution that set aside 35% of the motor fuel tax monies for projects on the fringe of Champaign and Urbana. Okay? So, and told me to keep a running count of the monies that we spent on those projects. Which I have continued to do. Urbana has by no way, shape, or form even come close to spending the monies that you guys set aside in that resolution on a yearly basis. I mean, the Windsor Road project in total cost the county $1.2 million to construct. Other than that, there hasn't been any Urbana projects. Olympian Drive is going to be zero cost, most likely, to the Champaign County, that fund. As my spreadsheet was put together based on that resolution, it's not like there's only $1.1 million in from that resolution that we had to spend in the city of Urbana. So I understand why you're trying to cap it, because you don't want this thing to get out of control, but I don't think that that's good relationships when we are partners in the project. And I can understand that. I told Bill Gray, I said, on the Curtis Road project, the city of Champaign wanted to make the concrete section 9 inches instead of 8, and they wanted these fancy lights, and I said, no way, we're not going to pay for that. And we didn't. We paid for our half of the actual bare bones minimum to build that project for Curtis Road, even though that project did come back to the board for amendments to the agreement, just like this project would have to do if we had to increase the cost. There was lots of discussion. As a matter of fact, that's where the discussion for the resolution for the Fringe Road stuff came out of. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Point of order. The gentleman that was here from Urbana has got up and left because we got to the end of the agenda, and and had gone through other business, and now we're having a discussion without him here, and I just think the discussion is inappropriate. The agenda was done. I'm sorry to interrupt you and say that. That's just my opinion, but we lost one of the persons that was here listening to what we had to say because he thought that conversation was done.
But this is just giving us.
No, he's the city administrator. He was here for this, but he can watch it on TV. How we do it?
Okay. So, are we kind of clear about what we want to do with the findings?
Oh, I have to know that.
I'd just say if we'd have done this in 1999, like we said, they wouldn't be sitting here tonight talking
about it. I actually would like to hear the rest of what Mr. Lou has to say, because I don't think we're speaking directly to changing the what was before us. I think it's just giving us some background on the funds that are there.
And to put a hard cap on it, just like Pius said, you guys probably put a hard cap on Prospect Avenue before I got here. You saw where I got us. It was a disaster when I got here. And Curtis Road was a disaster when I got here. And Windsor Road was a disaster when I got here. But we straightened all that stuff out. We made a resolution that has put aside an appropriate amount of money for these types of projects. And to put a hard cap on something that you passed a resolution to fund in the past, based on the vote of a board, just seems to be something that flies in the face of that resolution that board passed. And to say that it has to come back to the board to be amended, in my opinion, I'm not sitting out there, but in my opinion, is the appropriate way to handle it, because Mr. Bensel may not be here, and Mr. Langenheim may not be here, and Mr. Richards may not be here, and who knows what that board's going to want to do. But,
Well, Mr. Blue,
you got your knife ready?
I adamantly disagree with Mr. Blue. We've had this disagreement going for years on a motor fuel tax. Urbana has their own motor fuel tax. This is our motor fuel tax we're talking about for county projects. I'm not opposed to using it, but they're not entitled to it unless we want to give it to them. And we got in trouble because we didn't cap some darn projects before you got here. In fact, before you got here, we was in a terrible shape, as you know.
Well, you didn't cap how much money you were going to give them.
We should have. Had we done that, we wouldn't have gotten in trouble.
Right.
So what is wrong with saying and letting Urbana or Champaign or Muhammad or whomever we're agreeing with said, we're going to spend this much money, and if it doesn't work and they can justify it, come back to us and ask us for more money, maybe we can give it. But we've at least told them that this is what we're going to use.
Yeah. And you can do that via resolution where you appropriate $1.1 million to the project. Then that basically essentially puts a cap of motor fuel tax on the project. And you can pass that right along with the intergovernmental agreement. But I just know where the knives are going to fly from if you guys say there's a $1.1 million hard cap. We've been down that road. It was a disaster.
Well, do we need to question the engineering on this?
Do we need to?
Where do we get this $1.1 million? If the $2.2 million is not enough, we didn't get good information to start with.
I'm not saying whether the information is perfect or not. It's coming from Hanson Engineers. I believe in it, but...
Well, then, don't fight us. Support us.
I do support you, Mr. J. You know that. But I know I'm a realist.
I'm not going to speak to Mr. Day's point. I'm just going to say that it looks to me on the funding, since it says 2.2, half of that is 1.1, it has to come back to us. If it's going to be raised, which I would not like to do either, I would boil this down to I think we should just leave the paragraph, since it's going to have to come back to us to be approved, and it's going to go over that anyway, and it doesn't sound like we really have any consensus otherwise.
Okay, Pius.
Call for the order of the day, which means let's get back to the agenda.
Okay. finance for highway.
I want to take a spin-off break. Well, we should have gone earlier.
Hell, even though I give it to them, I'm not sure.
Okay, we're going to get started again. We still have quite an agenda to get through. So if everyone could take their seats. Social hour is over. Here we go. On your mark. First up on finance, an amendment. 110008, increased appropriation of 33,759, revenue of 90,000, expenditure increase to accommodate fiscal year 2011 salary increase for non-bargaining employees pursuant to resolution number 7646. Is our motion for approval.
I'll move.
Second. By Geraldo, seconded by Carol. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Second, an amendment 110019, appropriation of 877, revenue of 3699, increase in grant for fiscal year 2011 since the time the budget was adopted will adequately cover the increase in personnel costs for the 2.5% wage increase for non-bargaining unit. Motion by Lorraine, seconded by Al. Discussion. Okay, Carol.
I just have one question on, help me, the victim's advocacy grant is through the state's attorney's office.
It's a state's attorney program, but the grant is actually a separate fund because they receive funding from the state for that program.
And this covers staff of?
This covers the 2.5% wage increase that you approved for non-bargaining staff last month. And coincidentally, they have been notified of a revenue increase in this year's budget, so that completely offsets the increase in the staff cost.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on the issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Third item is an amendment 110020 for 81611. Carryover for expenditure budget to complete the ILEAS roof in fiscal 2011. Motion by Stan for approval. Is there a second? By Steve Mosier. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm interested in an omnibus motion. They are all related to something we've already discussed.
One more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Amendment 110021 for $8,000. This is a bonus for non-union personnel out of highways. Is there a motion for approval? By Michael. Is there a second? By Lorraine. Any discussion? Steve.
What's the process where these bonuses were earned? What's
okay, that amendment probably isn't stated as best as it could be. It is the same as all the other budget amendments you're doing tonight and transfers. It is to cover the increase of the 2.5% wage increase for non-bargaining employees in the highway department that was approved by the board last month.
It kind of sounded like somebody got paid for doing their job.
Carol. Carol, did you have anything?
I just wanted the funds. Okay, let me just ask Ms. Busey. On this particular budget amendment, this money is coming from the highway department's fund.
It's the highway fund, correct. The highway fund pays all of the wages for personnel in highway with the exception of the engineer.
And this is just an information question for me. For highway funds, are those federal funds?
No, the highway funds is the property tax for Champaign County Highway.
Anything else on this issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now 5, 6, 7, and 8. Omnibus, they're all related to what we had discussed before as a board. Motion by Michael.
Yeah.
Seconded by Steve. Discussion. Michael.
Just quickly, these are pretty much related to the same issue as the last one with highway. This has to do with the contract for non-bargaining for all of them. Is that right?
It has to do with your approval for the fiscal 2011 non-bargaining wage increase. And all of these are being covered through a transfer from the contingent line in the 2011 budget. So you're not actually increasing the overall appropriation of the general corporate fund. You're just transferring it from contingent to the various department budgets to cover the salary increase.
Larry.
And it's just a point of clarification. I abstained on Resolution 7681, which is referred to as budget transfer number 8.
I wouldn't think so, because you're just appropriating the money that...
Patsy?
I just want to say for the record, as I told about the amount that these bonuses and increases are going to cost the county, it's about $218,000. And my comment is not that I don't think people need to have salary increases, but when I read under the report Ms. Busey put together in conjunction with the strategic plan, and 15 employees were lifted from the county, I'm having a moment or two of uncomfort about these raises and the fact that we let go of 15 employees.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next is B, Court Services. Request approval of agreement for health care services at the Juvenile Detention Center. Is there a motion for approval? I'm sorry?
Approved.
By Steve, second by Brad. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Next, a request approval for business associate agreement between Health Professionals Limited and Champaign County. Is there a motion for approval? By Ron, seconded by Stephanie. Discussion. Carol.
Ms. Busey, was this sent out as an RFP, or was this a company that they've already been using?
No, I was told Mr. Gordon would be here, and I did not brief on this. I believe that an RFP was done, but I can't say it with 100% certainty.
Further discussion? Jan.
I'm not positive that when we first entered agreements with this LTD, Health Professionals, wasn't it because there are not other companies that provide the same kinds of services within detention facilities?
I'm sorry. I just really can't speak to this.
It's been quite a while since we did it, but
yeah.
It seems you know, that would provide mental health services and stuff that deal with these within the state. That was sort of my recollection.
Patsy?
I move to defer this. I have many questions on this, and then since there's nobody here to answer those questions, I either will have to vote no because I'm very uncomfortable with this so far.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
By Carol. Discussion to the motion to defer. Pius.
We could bring Mr. Gordon to a full county board meeting, and he could answer those questions there. I'm not sure if there's, you know, time, if he wants to have this, you know, signed off right away like that, but we could do it that way. Just forward it without approval to the board.
That's fine. I will change my deferral to mean that it goes
to the board. So friendly to move with that recommendation to full board. Is that fine with the seconder, Carol?
Yes.
Discussion to that motion, Astrid. One microphone.
Jan seemed to indicate that we had been contracting with these people for some time. Is that the case?
I think it started whatever year that was while I was Justice Chair, but I can't tell you what year, but it's been several years.
So it's not something new, it's just a continuation of an old agreement, it would appear.
Michael Linker.
I support the move to defer. Seems like we need to do some due diligence and get some questions answered, and I can't imagine that a 9-day gap is going to cause any problems.
And point of clarification, this is a motion to go to full board without recommendation. Carol?
I was going to actually follow up with that, but just I think that regardless to how long they've been providing the service, I think we should at least find out if we bid it this out and if it meets the requirement of our own.
It
even if there was no RFP done, which is not a bid, your purchasing policy does not require that an RFP be done for this service. But again, Mr., I can speak to the purchasing policy, but not to this particular situation.
Anything else on the motion to move to full board without recommendations so that we can hear from Mr. Gordon? Chris?
Just to clarify, I think I heard us already approve item B1, which was the actual agreement for healthcare services. So what we're talking about now is the business associate agreement, which is essentially appears to be boilerplate to allow us to implement our obligations under the HIPAA laws. So I think...
We're on B2. We already approved B1.
So if there's a motion to reconsider B1, I haven't heard it.
Carol?
Thank you very much. I would like to make a motion to reconsider B1 because to pass something without even answering...
There's currently a motion on the floor with this issue. We can move later to...
I will withdraw.
You are withdrawing the original...
Motion to defer. I thought it... We're going so fast that I lost track of where we are.
Please, wake up. Jeez. Come on.
Crazy. I really don't think that is an issue of waking up or anything in this case. We've been following this along, but they are moving so quickly. I asked specifically about D1. I would not have made the recommendation if it was strictly on 2, and I appreciate him pointing that out, that we're talking about 2 instead of 1. To approve that and not have any of the questions answered, and the person not here to represent it, is as we have approved everything else without any actual discussion here.
Well, that's not true.
Hang on a second. Please.
Before we make a motion to reconsider, didn't that first motion pass unanimously?
That's my point.
Yes.
Thank you.
And no one can bring the motion to
reconsider. No one can bring the motion up. You have to have somebody who voted no to ask to rescind it. It was a unanimous decision.
True. Thank you. So on the second motion, on the second issue, there the motion... Okay, let me explain. Did you get the explanation? Okay. So we're talking about the second item, but the motion was with the original motion was withdrawn. Would you like to bring that back, Patsy and Carol? To James.
Point of information. B1 will be on the full county board, and so we can pull it off the consent agenda.
You can tonight. You can say don't put it on consent.
Okay.
Okay. Related to that, is it desirous to have that not be on consent for B1? Fine. B2. Is there a motion? She did. I'm looking for a restating of the motion. So, a motion to...
I believe is there not already a motion?
There is a motion to approve by Bensel and seconded by Holderfield. So, if the motion to defer has been withdrawn, you're back to the main motion, which was to approve.
Patsy.
Yes. I just have one question on this part. And automatically, does somebody from the state's attorney's office always review these legal documents that we get?
I'm sorry, I did not prep on this document for tonight because I was told Mr. Gordon would be here. So I can't answer your questions.
Okay, then I guess then I move to defer this until the full board meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Carol. Is there discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
I need a show of hands for deferral. Against deferral. The against have it. Main motion on the floor is for approval of this item. Is a discussion to that?
I have to make that.
Could
Mr. Bensel, seconded by Ms. Holderfield, the original motion.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. It will not be on consent. Item C, State's Attorney, request approval of intergovernmental agreement between Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services and the State's Attorney. Is there a motion for approval?
Approval.
By Steve. Is there a second?
Aye.
By Michael. Discussion. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. It will not be on consent. D, 1, recommendation of repayment of nursing home loan. Is there a motion for approval?
Aye.
By Stephanie, seconded by Steve. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. That will not be on consent. County Administrator's Report, Deb.
The report was distributed to you tonight. In the interest of time, I won't spend a lot of time on it unless you have questions. Effectively, our revenues are holding fairly stable. Our sales taxes continue to be doing better than they were last year at the same month over month. Right now, it looks like we'll achieve 101% of budgeted revenue and that we will spend 98% of budgeted expense, which would place us at a year-end total fund balance of $3.9 million, which is right above our fund balance goal. Subtracting out the nursing home loan, it puts us right at 11.5%. There's no change to the budget change report since last month. And then the Harrison-Harris report is there for your information. Year-to-date, they've collected $358,000 for the general corporate fund, a total of $68,515. And the agency summaries are on the page following.
Any questions for Deb? Thank you. Motion by Tom, seconded by Lorraine. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries.
I have a request or a recommendation for an adjustment to or an amendment to the schedule of authorized physicians. It's set out on the memo in your packet, pages 80 through 82.
And I'll ask for a motion for approval to get the conversation going by Astrid, to seconded by Lorraine. Discussion. Carol.
Is this a change of a position grade or is this a new position?
As it was explained in the memo, the physical plant 2 years ago had three management positions. With the adoption of the fiscal year 2010 budget and the retirement of two of those managers, only one management position has been filled for now the last 18 months. It's that is of the facilities director, who is also expected to do a lot of work that involves being in the office or dealing with the county's projects, working on long-term planning and things of that nature. There is no one to supervise the maintenance and custodial staffs, which are comprised of 25 individuals in 11 different buildings. The facilities director is required to do that as well. We currently have, we had a retirement on March 31st of our microfilm services manager, and due to changes in how we operate and do business, there is no intent to fill that position in the future. So this request and that position was paid very close to the same as what the building and grounds manager position would be paid. The building and grounds manager position was created at the end of 2009, and the board approved the job description and the classification, but it was never filled because of the budget cuts that we had to do. What I'm asking for here is that you eliminate the microfilm services manager position. It will not be filled again, and create the building and grounds manager position, which would then be filled after a search is conducted.
Other questions? Seeing none. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Alan supervises all this now? Is that
yes,
correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any others? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Tim. The treasurer intelligently left, and the auditor was even smarter and didn't come to the beginning of this either, so I'd entertain a motion to accept both their monthly reports and place them on file. By Brad, seconded by Lorraine. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. There's no other business. No chair's report. Or is there any other business I should ask? I'm sorry. Thank you. And items for consent, all of the amendments and transfers in E4. And that's it for finance. Thank you.
Well, oh, you guys look really, really tired. All right. Policy, personnel appointments. We're going to start our business with A1. Mr. Chair.
Per the recommendation from the chair of the Champaign County Central Committee of the Republican Party, I nominate Mr. Aaron Ezri to fill the vacancy created by Greg Knapp's resignation.
I'm sorry, second by. Mr. Moser, second that. Is there any discussion on this appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion passes. Item A2, Economic Development Corporation, vacancy created by Greg Knott's resignation. Mr. Weigel.
I nominate Mr. Jonathan Schrader.
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Any discussion on this issue? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. I'm sorry, is there any opposition? I already said that. You said no. All right. Item 3, Site Assessment Update Committee, term from 4/22/2011 to 11/1/2011. Mr. Weigel.
I'd like to point out that in the green handout here, there's a couple of late nominees to this committee. Mr. Bruce Stickers, who's the county conservationist. And also Steve Sherwood, who's on the board of the Salem Water District. Their nominations came in just this morning. I would ask permission of this board that I could nominate them also, even though they weren't listed on the agenda. I would like to point out that all of these slots have very narrow restrictions, so like for Mr. Sickert's position, nobody else can apply for it. For Mr. Sherwood's position, probably five or six people only could apply for it. I'd just like your permission to go ahead and nominate them, although you haven't had much time to review their application. So they did use the actual form.
Second.
All right. It's been moved in second. Mr. Nudo, do you want to comment?
No, I was just second.
Mr. Betts.
When was the application deadline?
Mr. Wong?
I think April 1. That's had many phone calls to try to fill those three positions, but you know, what can you do?
Mr. Weibel, this site assessment update committee, how many people are we trying to fill in that position?
We're trying to fill a total of five.
One of the questions.
The two on the three listed, plus the two on the screen sheet.
I got that part. Within the time frame that was due on the application process, had we not received five people at that point?
Well, we'd only gotten the three.
We had only gotten three.
But I don't anticipate anybody else applying if we wait a month.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion on this issue? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Yes, sir. Mr.
We're still on this. I need to nominate these. I haven't actually officially nominated. Your vote, I asked permission to include all five in it, so just to clarify here. I asked permission so I could do five instead of three.
Include all five people.
So let me nominate Deborah Grice, Liz Jones, Kyle Kraft, Bruce Stickers, and Steve Stillwell for the Site Assessment Update Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Waddle. All five of them have been approved by the committee. Mr. Nudo?
I would ask the chair to have an omnibus motion to approve all the remaining ones that have singular nominations.
I'm willing to do that.
Second.
Okay, let me go through the list here.
I'm sorry.
In 3, there's the no vote taken.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just do it by rule, like I do out of 5-6
Let me just clarify, because I understand that Ms. Busey has raised this, that I was under the impression that we voted for all 5 of those in our last vote. Is that not correct? Okay, thank you. We'll go back and correct that.
And I'll second the chair's motion so that we can vote.
All right, so it's all 5 of those appointments have been moved and seconded. All in favor on item number 3, all 5?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you very much. We're on to number 4, Mr. Weibel.
Yeah, for the Locust Grove Cemetery Association to complete the term of the deceased, Mr. Rob Rice, I nominate Mr. Dirk Rice from April 22nd to June 30th, 2011 to stay April June 30th, 2015.
Is there a second?
Second.
No, he actually didn't. We'll come back to it. Thank you. It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Mr. Nudo, do you want to come back to your omnibus motion? After 5. Thank you. We'll move Community Action Board term from 4-22-2011 to 12-1-2013.
Mr. Yolanda Trotman Davis.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Anderson. Is there any discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes. At this time, we'll entertain an omnibus motion for the next appointments, which, Mr. Nutter, do you want to come back to that?
With the exception of numbers 13.
Okay, thank you.
Only chair.
I'd like to request an omnibus motion for the members of the Fire Protection District, which have just single nominees. Is there any objection?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
I don't have to really vote on that. There's no objection.
No.
There's no objection.
No objections to omnibus. Okay.
Okay.
So that's item 6 through... Item 6 through 19.
That's appropriate. I'll read them off. I point out that the terms are all the same from May 1st, 2011 to April 30th, 2014. For Broadlands Longview Fire Protection District, Brian Toad. Eastern Prairie Fire Protection District, Linda Cates. Ed Scott Fire Protection District, Dorothea. Hunt. Ivesdale, Denny Jane. Ludlow, James Kirk. Ogdenwell, James Vickers. Pasadena, Raymond Hettinger. Sedaris, William Eckerty. Simon Valley, David Bright. Scott, Chris Carr. Thomas Earl, William Kirk. That's it.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on those? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Mr. Weibel, we're going to go back to number 13.
For the Fire Protection District, my nomination is Mr. Kevin Chalmers.
It's been moved. Is there a second for Mr. Chalmers?
So moved.
Mr. Langenheim, second. Any discussion on Philo Fire Protection District? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
No.
That motion passes. We will go to number 19.
17.
I'm sorry, number 17, thank you. St. Joseph's Staten Fire Protection District, Mr. Weibel.
My nomination is Howard Marsh.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Howard Marsh, is there any discussion on that appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Now we will move to number 19, Tolona Fire Protection District. Mr. Weibel.
My nomination is Ms. Ann Jack Halifax.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Sapp, any discussion on this issue? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. We'll go to B, County Administrator's Report.
The vacant positions listing is there just for your information, and you've already dealt with the other item. Thank you.
Thank you. Item C, County Clerk Monthly Fees Report, March 2011. I move that. Mr. James. Has been moved to be placed on file. Is there any discussion on the monthly fees report? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Request to amend the liquor ordinance to be distributed in your green packet.
I'll make a motion to accept the amended liquor ordinance.
Second that motion.
Mr. James moves. Mr. Langenheim seconds. Is there any discussion on the changes in the liquor ordinance that's, as is presented by the county clerk? Or any questions? I think he's here. Ms. Petrie.
Yes, since Mr. Holton is here, can he please explain to us the background and why he wants these changes so we can better understand this?
Yes, sir.
A number of these changes have been discussed with the Liquor Commissioner, Mr. Weibel, for some time between our office and his office. All of the changes allow for a more efficient administration of the licenses by our office and a more efficient application process of the licenses for the applicants. They don't present any material change to how we handle the license or how we administer them. They just clean up the ordinance to more closely follow the practices that we have and eliminate some inconveniences and inefficiencies that we have in the ordinance now. And I'm happy to address any questions about any of the five recommendations.
This thing's been a disaster for the last 8 or 9 years with ELOC, and I'm glad to see you clean it up and get it over with.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or suggestions for this ordinance? Thank you, Mr. Holton.
Thank you. If I may,
certainly.
Completely off topic. On Election Day, we lost power here at Brookings, and I just want to thank Deb Busey, Alan Reinhart, Andy Rhodes, Tracy Wingler at the Highway Department, and the staff here at the county for reacting as quickly as they did and allowing us to continue with our election operations here at Brookings. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions or comments on the change of this ordinance? Mr. Jones, were you raising your hand? No? All right. All in favor of accepting the changes to the requested ordinance?
Aye.
Any opposition? One opposition. Thank you very much. We'll move on. I'm sorry. Is there other business? All right. We'll move on to item E, Chair's Report, Discussion Recommendations for County Board Rules Change. You received rules change recommendations from myself, which was at the previous Committee of the Whole meeting, and you received recommendations for changes from Mr. James. We've had an opportunity to discuss one aspect of this, and I really wanted Mr. James to be able to speak to his recommendations at this point, so I offer that to Mr. James.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, what I'm proposing is that we would go to three standing committees that would have two committee operations in that standing committee, and how they're divided up. I suggested the ones that are listed for you doesn't mean they're in stone. There would be 9 committee members, since there's 27 of us now. There would be 9 to each committee. The nine members would be the voting members. Everybody is can attend. They can have their say after the committee members like we used to do. Then it would be forwarded on to the full board, which could then again be taken off consent or what have you. I was looking at that option because I sort of prefer the one-on-one, and just like tonight, there's been a lot of talk and people get off page and people make motions, and a lot of it, even to me, gets very confusing as to where I'm at sometimes. The other thing was the pay. It would be $45 per diem times 9, which is $405, times 3, which comes out to what one cow mini now equals. So we would not only be shrinking the budget down a little bit and saving some money, I think we would have more discussion. The people that would be at those would do, like we did before, the research, and those that wanted to attend that had a question or an interest in it could attend and ask their questions like we do now instead of taking up some time, and then it seems like we go around three or four times with the same questions. That was my proposal. Mainly just because this doesn't, to me, and I've heard other comments, doesn't seem to be working the way we thought it would. And I just would hope the board would at least look at it and give it some due consideration. And I just, personally, having another committee of the whole meeting, three full meetings, and then a board meeting, that's four meetings a month, which some of these have been lasting fairly long, and I think we need to really look at that.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. James. I'd like to get comments from the other board members on these proposals. And this one is for us to discuss at this point, the thoughts of the board members at this point. Ms. Bergson. Ms. Bergson, can you use your mic?
Just a minor amendment that it should include that when the board of 22 comes up, there'll be committees of 7, with maybe the chairman not having to be on one of them. Or being at all of it.
Other board member comments on this recommendation. Mr. Nudo?
Well, much as I enjoy Mr. James's company, I just want to make some points on whether this is the right thing to do at this point in time. I have several problems with going back down to 9 members. One is a quorum is now going to be 5, and 3 votes could pass or fail to push something forward to the full board. And that's bothersome to me because, as maybe with the committee of the whole being too many comments or too much, what's the term? I think board members, if they have questions, informational questions, etc., they should ask those questions before a meeting. I think the chair should do a better job. Chairs, plural, I'm not picking on Carol at all because I think she's doing a great job, is they should cut conversations in terms of second and third and fourth times before other people speak. There's a lot of things we can do with committee of the whole that would make it more streamlined. But ultimately, as in the example tonight of the agreement for the intergovernmental agreement, I don't believe if Tom Betts is not on a committee that has some legal ramifications, I'm uncomfortable of, I mean, there's expertise in this room that 27 members provide. And if you get down to 5, you don't really have the expertise that you want to use to kill a measure. Secondly, the way this is structured, 9 members will be in charge of the 2 most powerful committees, and that's policy and finance. They're grouped together. And I have a real problem with that when 9 members are going to control what goes forward in the 2 most powerful committees. If they were separated, I understand that Stan said, well, if you want to separate them, you could in our caucus, but to have 9 people consistently make decisions on finance and policy is bothersome. Thirdly, I think Committee of the Whole has provided us with a lot of conversation. I don't mind 4-hour meetings. I truly don't mind 4-hour meetings. I'll say that again. I don't mind 4-hour meetings if everybody gets a chance to say what they want to say and we could streamline it better. But I have a real problem with nine-member committees passing forward things that may or may not come before all of us. And as far as information, I am convinced that we are all better informed by having committee of the whole. I know that our general board meetings are shorter because of it. So there's trade-offs. But I don't want to personally go back to nine-member members.
Mr. Kurtz.
I have to agree with Mr. Nudo. I remember the nine. What, isn't that how you like that, huh? I remember the nine. I try to sit on all of them, on every one of them, because I had some time. But I knew that when I got to the board meeting, we would have two-thirds of this member not knowing what the heck we did. And we would have to start all over again to explain exactly what we did during those periods that we questioned these people. They'd have to come back. They'd have to be questioned again and again by the rest of the board. And we would be back to that same time span or even longer because none of them knew what the heck we had done during that those committees. So going back to the small, I think the committee of the whole, being as it is, every single member can question anyone who is speaking to any amendment, any resolution, and we get the whole thing at one time, and every member actually understands, hopefully understands, what's happening so that we don't have to repeat it, repeat it, and repeat it again each time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mosier.
I think we could have avoided this zoning fiasco that we had here for 3 months. We'd had a standing nine-member ELEC committee that cares and understands how zoning works. And when you get 27 people in here and 18 of them don't really understand it or they don't care, we lost a lot when we lost that committee.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Yes, one of the things that I appreciate about the committee of the whole structure is that it takes out some political and interpersonal issues at the time of the organization of the board. Nobody has to be worried about which committee they got put on, whether it was their preference or not, whether it was done for political reasons, whether it was done for personal reasons. The way the committee of the whole works, everybody has equal access to participation in the discussion, and that's what I think the voters elected me to do, so I'm in support of it.
Thank you. Ms. McGinty.
I'm not sure I agree with Steve about his analogy about ELEC, because I sat on ELEC when it was a committee and it was confusing every minute. And even as a committee member, I think that that's just a completely separate issue that we have huge problems with. With that said, I appreciate Stan and Carol's recommendations are coming to us with some new ideas, and this is very good. I have some strong opinions about this. I believe that in our past, we've had an uninformed body because people weren't able to experience everything. The COW allows us to experience it, warts and all, with the pain of longer meetings. Some of the issues regarding longer meetings, in my opinion, are the way that we are able to, one, conduct our business efficiently. It's a challenge. I just experienced it in Carol's seat, and it's a challenge sometimes when we want to have that fine line as when we're chairing a particular part of the meeting to allow a conversation to happen appropriately, cut it off when it's redundant, but not upset the membership when the COW's the time to have the discussion. So I don't mind long COW meetings because that's the time that we should have the discussion. I really do believe there are some open meetings issues if we go down to smaller size. There are great advantages to more of us getting together to talk about these things. And I encourage us as a board to do our work between the meetings so that this isn't where we're learning how this works. But between the meetings, we talk with Deb and Jeff and Alan and others and get our questions answered before we come here. Because we spend a lot of time asking questions that are answerable between the meetings so that we can make our meetings more efficient. You know, longer meetings, that's our job.
It's what we should be doing. This board's going to be changing in 18 months. The board setup will be changing, which will be much to our benefit, you know, how we physically look and all that. Yeah, I think that there's great benefit. I'm personally like Carol's proposal. I like two meetings. I like fewer meetings. I like knocking it out. But I can tell that people feel concerned about being able to have enough time to talk about these issues during a council, going down to two meetings per, and Tom said it during our caucus, if we have the opportunity to cancel one because there's just not enough business or combine them 1 month, so be it. Do it in the summertime, do it during a holiday, something like that. We can do that. So, but changing it back to where everybody's not experiencing everything, I think is potentially problematic. Thank you.
Mr. Langenheim.
I can't agree with Iron Pants Rudo. 4-hour meetings lead to a petrified audience. We run things through without any consideration whatsoever, merely to get out of the room. And that situation needs to be avoided. It needs to be avoided in the regular board meetings. There, perhaps a rule that required us to adjourn and set up a second meeting when we exceeded the 10 o'clock or whatever it is would be a good idea. There is much also to be said for the small specialized committees that we had beforehand. We had people in those committees that were interested in that particular subject and had expertise in that particular subject. You selected your committee. Both parties were represented. And in my experience, it was seldom that a truly contested issue was throttled in committee and not brought to the board. So there's a balance to be struck here. I don't think we want our business to be conducted by people who are in a state of stupefaction from overexposure to, shall we say, unrestrained debate.
Mr. James.
Well, just to follow up on some of the comments, if I may. First of all, if the nine was held, I keep hearing that, you know, everybody likes to have their say and being there. Well, everybody can still come. It just would be the committee members vote on the issue. But everybody here could still come and stay all night and make the meeting longer if they so wish. Also, we're always talking about budgets, and we haggle over employee costs and what have you, and I'm looking at a way to save the county a little money. I've seen a lot of times here, even like tonight, and then there's been times when it comes to finance, which I think is a big issue, that we rush through a lot of things, and I hear comments like, well, I didn't hear that, or I want to go back and vote on this. And ELUC, how many times did we go to a study session because we couldn't agree after 2 hours of talk, and then we'd have a study session, and then even when we go to full board, we still pull it off. It's going to happen no matter if we have 5 members, 9 members, or 27 sitting here. I just look at the opportunity, like we used to in facilities, go visit the buildings. I cannot imagine the 27 of us walking through the nursing home one night to see what's going on, or if we do any renovation work, it would be a nightmare. And then we always talk about 2 or 3 people, like we did with Olympia, that take the ball for all of us, go out and get all the facts and come back to this board, where I've heard Lloyd Carter and others, when we had the committees, they asked the questions, all of us could attend if we had a certain thing we wanted to be asked or talk to them. I just think it was better for the officials, and I wish they would respond. But when you have 27 members ringing their phone versus a chairman or a small committee touring their facilities, I think you get a little better rapport, and then you've got to learn to trust each other and work with each other. And I've been on a lot of boards and a lot of committees, and I've always advocated that we need a structure of such to where you have a committee that does the planning, and because it gets awful long. And again, I go back, like tonight, we go from finance to other issues, and it just sometimes is just overload, and then I'm sitting here thinking, what were we talking about? And I don't mind this. I really don't. I'm like Al. I could stay here all night. I haven't got anybody to go home to except for 3 dogs, and they can care less if they see me. But this, I just like the way it was set up, and I can't say it enough, and I think Ron has alluded to, like with this map stuff, the one-on-one and being able to, if 27 of us were sitting in that room, we'd still be talking about it. So I just wanted to follow up with that, you know, saying that this is better, everybody hears the same
campaign. We still argue about it. We still pull it off the consent sometimes. I just like the one-on-one and being able to get more detail.
Mr. Coates?
I was just curious, Stan. If the vote kills something in committee in this nine, does it come to the board anyway, or is it dead in committee and 18 of us can't vote on it?
Dead in committee.
Well, I would say from what I recall with Mr. Beckin and that, if something wasn't put on the agenda, he didn't have a choice to vote on it anyway. So the chair here, I've asked him on certain issues, and he'll flat out tell me, I'll look at it. Or I've asked Carol, and Carol was very generous about putting this on there. But other chairs have the opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to put it on there. So that's sort of a mute question in my mind, I think.
I really don't like the idea of 18 of us not having to vote on something if a committee of nine, if five out of the nine says, well, we don't want to send this to the board. 18 of us have lost our responsibility to our constituents to speak to or to vote to on that individual resolution or subject. So I can't agree.
Ms. Coates, I recognize you, and if you'll give me a second just to respond to Mr. Kurtz. One of the things that I experienced as a new board member coming on to the smaller committees, I absolutely have a huge responsibility because I'm a mother as well. And so it was quite difficult for me to, even though I may have this interest, and I think I argued this for the first 2 years, people said to me, well, just come to the meetings. Well, unfortunately, life also has a demand on some of us, and we can't make every single one of those meetings. And I remember me arguing against losing committees in this committee of the whole structure. I remember being one of the persons against the committee of the whole structure because I was concerned about losing the ability to really deal with the material. So there was a win-win on both sides of this issue. However, what I have learned, and I am the Aaron would disagree, but I would say that I can admit when I'm wrong. In this case, I think I was really wrong about that issue early on because I have personally benefited from the committee of the whole structure, and I appreciate Mr. McGinty's recommendation. I have built into my own schedule extra time so that I can come see Ms. Busey. I kind of drop in quite often. I need to understand what's being asked of me as a board member, and so I've been able to just add that to my schedule without having to reduce the size of the board or make the other members have to deal with me in committee structure on a smaller board. And so I do respect your recommendation, absolutely. I just know that for the issues of ELUC, the issues of zoning that have come up that I have no experience with, I depend on the responses from this large body to help me understand what is being asked of me when I vote on those issues. That nine, I'm almost guaranteeing that when you relieve me of my responsibility by this actual committee restructuring, I will replace that with other service opportunities that I'll do in the community, and so I'll lose some of this open discussion that happened at these larger committee meetings. And so for that reason is why I put up that we would move from this two and put all three in to a three and reduce it by two. And in many cases, we probably would not have as much business even if we had the three meetings taking place. And I think that's a consideration, and we could certainly measure it. The next board would have to deal with this issue. But as for now, going back to nine small committees would make a hardship on people like myself. And I am very committed to the work that I'm doing on the board. So I just wanted to say that and go back to Ms. Coward for her comments on it.
The only thing I want to say is that we haven't put things on the consent agenda, and they can always be put off and addressed at the full board meeting. So I can't people make decision stop the whole board from being able to address any decision that
I can understand that. I just remember the smaller committees being when we got to the full board meeting. This is just my own personal experience. When we got to the full board meeting from the smaller committees, often the other members had a lot of questions, and their response was, you should have came to the small committee. Well, that's really not an appropriate response. If the decision is to go to a smaller committee structure, then you will have to deal with some of these issues that are pulled off of consent at that full board meeting, which will still extend your full board meeting beyond the capacity of the members. We do know that a two-hour meeting in all research is a lot. And so including outside of Mr. Noodle, who absolutely is an energizer bunny rabbit for four-hour meetings, outside of him, I can look at your body language, and so can the public, can tell that you're a little bit on the exhausted side at this point. And so we really can consider adding the third meeting, and then that reduces our time and give us adequate time to deal with some of those issues that would normally be on consent but pulled off at the full board meeting and still cause a long extended stay. Mr. Quisenberry?
Yeah, I want to talk about another logistical concern I have, and I think Mr. Noodle alluded to this, but he didn't call it out specifically when he mentioned three people. With a nine-person committee, a quorum is five, so a majority of a quorum is three, and that means that three people on that same committee cannot have coffee and talk about issues that are of concern of that committee because of the Open Meetings Act. And I know other bodies of government have gone away from small committees for exactly that reason, because it restricts a small group association amongst their members, which then divides the group. It creates space that you don't want to have. I think it's good now that we can get together in small groups because our committee sizes are large, and have these discussions and have more reaching out.
Mr. Langenheim, I recognize you.
Again, our job is to do the county's business to the best of our ability, and our abilities do decline as time passes, and I would strongly recommend that perhaps we ought to set a time limit for our meetings. When we reach 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is, we adjourn arbitrarily and set up a second meeting. Now, that's going to cost money, but the county's business should be done by alert board members, not by people who are half asleep or have their mind on getting home and getting that after-dinner drink or whatever it might be.
Mr. McGinty and then Ms. Bergson.
I'm curious as to what our desired action is. Do we have action tonight, or is this discussion only?
We don't have action tonight on this agenda. I would like for us as a committee to make a determination on this, and we'll pull a straw vote tonight to see which direction we should go so that administration knows what to do.
And as a follow-up, the straw vote, I would imagine, would also include status quo or going back to our original six committee structure. I've heard at least an individual on all of those points, going back to six committees, going to keeping it status quo, going with, I'll call it, the Ammons proposal and the James proposal. So those four, I think, are all potentially fair game.
I'll come back to you in 1 second, Ms. Bergson. And I think we actually did. Ms. Busey recommended that possibly we could do a survey of the board itself and have that results of the survey for April 21st meeting. I think that's how we did it, to go to the committee of the whole structure, is there was a survey of the board members and they ranked their selection process. If the committee's in support of that, we can end the discussion today and ask Ms. Busey to distribute a survey to all of the board members. You rank your preferences, and then we can put the recommendation out on the 21st. Ooh, he said peace. Mr. J, I'm going to recognize you first. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. J. Ms. Dirksen.
Ralph's suggestion of having a time limit on the meeting, instead of having three meetings, no matter how much or little we have to do, if you had a three-hour time limit on the meetings, and if it were necessary to go to a third meeting, then we could have it. It would be the alternative when we had too much business, but it would not be regularly scheduled. It avoids the... make too much work.
If I could, just 2 points with regard to that. First of all, the county board for decades had a 10 o'clock rule, which was for meetings that began at 7 that they would end at 10. And that rule was removed because it was always waived. Whenever the board got to 10 o'clock, they voted to waive the 10 o'clock rule and kept going until the business was done that night. So it has been done. Not to say you couldn't do it again, but just so you're aware, it has been done. And I understand what you're saying, but the problem is we have someone here who's been here 3 hours tonight waiting to present to you. The issue is when you have staff who have to present to you and they wait until potentially 10 o'clock and then you decide to roll that business over to another meeting date, that can be extremely problematic too.
I'm going to go back to Mr. J and then I'll come back again.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll be really brief. I like the smaller committees. One of the things that I really do miss is I had a lot more camaraderie with the other side of the aisle. We've lost that with the meeting of the whole for the most part. We used to sit and rub shoulders in our committee meetings, and I happen to have two of the best chairs, Mrs. Cullert and Mr. Beckett, although he might disagree with what I'm saying, but I really do miss that, and I think that's something that we as a group miss, I hope. But I'm not suggesting that that's the only reason that we ought to have a small meeting, but I do miss that, and I think it was very important for the camaraderie of us as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jett. I'm going to recognize Mr. Weibel, Ms. Petrie, and then Mr. Alex.
Pass.
Mr. Weibel, pass. Ms. Petrie.
Both suggestions are quite interesting, or any of the four that Mr. McGinty pointed out to us for our consideration. I have more macro concerns. One is, whatever we do, I don't hear anybody talking about adjusting the board rules to accommodate some of these points that people are making. Number two is, my observation and my short time on the board is, no matter what the format, there is a silo effect as to people's knowledge about things, and the way the meetings are set up, sharing that knowledge base does not happen to help the rest of us who are not in the loop of information. Number three, asking questions before we get to the board. Lots of times I purposely don't do that because I realize our meetings are televised. And so if we all come to the meeting with everything in our heads and we don't ask questions, the public looks at us and wonders what's going on behind the door. So part of my questioning is for education of the public, and part of it is because I'm a new board member and some of the things I don't know yet because I haven't been on the board long enough. And my last comment is, a survey is fine, but a survey for what? Asking us what we prefer? I could prefer A, if certain things are adjusted in the board rules, or I could prefer B, because the adjustment of the board rules are much better and will facilitate us sharing information, being more efficient. And the last thing is, all the time I sit over there watching the board, at about 1 hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, the board maxes out in decision making. So we have got to do something in the restructuring so our board meetings don't go on beyond that time, because we don't make good decisions after that time.
Thank you, Mr. Alex.
It's nice to have the idea of a time limit, but I think it's probably not practical based on the way our public comment works. I mean, if we're going to ask a member of the public to come and speak to the board, I think they have a right to have the item to which they spoke acted on the same night that they show up. So I think if we have an issue with the length of the meetings, I would support Carol's recommendation, which is
whether we do it every month, we at least have the option of scheduling 3 Cal meetings if we think it appears that there's going to be enough business to warrant it. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask Ms. Busey a very quick question. Ms. Petrie brought up the issue of the board rules. In either of these recommendations, the board rules, meaning how they are formatted and how they take place, would be changed. I need to clarify if you're asking for changes to other rules within the board rules, not in relationship to the operation of the meetings.
I am, such as how we exchange information, limitations, maybe introductory memos before some of the materials that are presented to us rather than just the materials that would answer a lot of questions right there, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so I recognize that as a separate topic from the meeting schedule that we're trying to deal with right now. Is it the will of this board, Mr. Buzz?
You know, you're talking about wanting to send out a survey with the 4 options, but we have 2 things here before us that we can't take direct action on. But I still think a straw vote on each of them would be useful if it shows that, like, we've only got 5 people that want one of them. I think that would give us a lot of indicator in terms of where we should be going, and I think it would be very useful to do that, at least for the 2 that you've got listed here.
Mr. Questenberry.
The value of a ranked survey lets you arrive at the best case for all folks, as opposed to if we did a straw poll now on each item, would you encourage them to vote for any one they would accept or the one they want most? Or that's the value of a ranked survey.
Mr. Best, did you want to? No. Mr. Best does not want to respond to that. I'll respond in the like of, I understand Mr. Best's point that we have 2 recommendations. Board members certainly were asked if they wanted to propose something different, that they certainly, and I was open to receiving that recommendation. I don't believe that right now we have a discussion of the 6 committees because nobody actually made that recommendation. We don't have a discussion of any other format outside of Mr. James and the one submitted by myself. And at this point, I would like to at least get a straw poll so that we can get an idea of what people recommend. Yes, ma'am. And we will do that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The 3rd option, I think, that needs to be considered is status quo. Some of us may not
just
have responded
yep.
to status quo.
So what we'll do at this point, Ms. Busey, if you have a little column, we'll start with mine since it starts with an A, not because I'm chair. Ms. Anderson, final comment on that before we do a struggle.
Well, this is just my comment. I guess I would like to see maybe a straw on whether we lean toward going back to, you know, like separate committees, or whether we prefer staying with the COW. But if I voted, say, to stay with the COW, I think there could be some variations on yours, you know, considering, you know, whether we'd rather stay with the 2 then or whether we want to go with the 3. But it seems to me that the 2 bigger ones are whether you want to go back to smaller committees or whether you want to stay with a committee of the whole and then maybe take another straw after that.
I think at this point, because we have a current system that we're in, we have 2 recommendations. So for right now, we'll just take a straw poll on the 3 that we know we have currently, and then we'll reevaluate after that point. Mm-hmm. Mr. O'Connor.
Thanks, Carol. At what point can I insert my none of the above vote then?
I guess when okay. Right now, let's just deal with those 3 items that we have. Can I see the hands of those who would support the Ammons proposition for 2, 2, and 2? Can I see your hands for that? Thank you. Can I see the hands of those who would support Mr. James's proposition? Mr. James. How was the second? All right. Thank you. And the hands of those who would support the committee of the whole current.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
It would... Well... You can't really vote more than once, otherwise we do a survey.
I don't see a problem with voting twice on the committee as a whole, because I think personally there's some things we could do with two sessions if we have a stronger chair direction in terms of how we solicit conversations and how we cut off conversations and how we get to a point where we agree we're getting redundant. So it could be two or it could be three based on what we could get achieved there. But until we get to the point where we see a stronger chair direction, I'm voting for both of them. I just want to see committee of the whole stay, whether we can do it with two or three. And that, you know what? I mean, like, I love Gordy Halton, his melodic voice, but we had a board member ask him to speak on why he made these changes. Guess what? It says here on every one recommendation, here's the reasons why. And so that was a waste of time. And if the chair would say, this is already being written down, regardless of what the public hears or not, he didn't provide anything to the public that was anything worthwhile. My point is, the chair needs to have a stronger base in how we can have conversations here. And I'm very serious about that. I don't think if people haven't prepared themselves or read the material, or they just want to hear themselves being spoken, you know, I'm tired of having those kinds of lengthy meetings. There's a point at which we can cut this thing off and be open with our transparency. But
I want to see stronger chairs.
I appreciate that. Did we get the count for the current? I'm going to do that. I think I attempt that, but at any rate, I think for the purpose of this, we should vote for the one we want best. Just vote once. On the final current structure, can we simply see the hands of those who did not vote for A or B? Or Ammons or James? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. We'll move action to the next Cal meeting. The results here are 13 for Ammons, 7 for James, 2 for Current. And that's it at this point. Mr. Sapp.
And I guess I didn't make any comments about Current, and if I may make just a brief comment about why I believe the current structure works. I actually, if I had to change, I would not go to an additional Cal meeting. I would go backwards to our committee meetings. But what I've seen with this structure is that our full board meetings are short. These may be long. There's a lot of discussion, but everybody hears it with the other structure, with Mr. James. And again, I did like that. I kind of agree with Mr. Jay that we have a lot more interaction with the opposite side of the aisle. But we have shorter. This allows everybody to hear that it is. So it went to full board, and our full board meetings, as Deb indicated, we were constantly pushing that 10 o'clock hour, and we were constantly waving and saying we're going to go till the meeting's done. So we have two long Cal meetings. Our full board, most of what goes there has already been discussed, and it shortens it. So that's why structure has worked and why I would support continuing.
At this point, I'm sorry, Ms. Michaels. I'm going to have to do what Mr. Noodle said. We got to cut this discussion off. We will bring it back to for action on the next committee of the whole agenda. And at this point, we will move on to
Item number two under E2, reapportionment issue discussion. That's just to let all of the board members know that we will have a study session on April 26th at 6 p.m. To go over the official reapportionment plan that the county has to pass. And so that will be on the 26th at 6 p.m. Designation of items.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
Can you ask a question about the reapportionment issues? For the benefit of the board, could we identify what those issues are specifically going to include and what they're not going to include?
Exactly. Size of the county board, number of county board districts, whether they're multi-member or single-member districts, how the county board chair will be selected, and compensation for the county board. It also includes MAP, but a MAP can also be done separately. Those are the issues besides the MAP that I think were intended to be discussed on the 26th.
Thank you.
Mr.
Betts?
I might not have been listening carefully, but there's also the issue of rotation. Do we do two-year terms?
We'll do that until September of 2012.
Okay.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to Strategic Planning Committee. Update on strategic planning process. I'd like to ask Mr. McGinty to speak to this issue since he's the chair of that committee.
Thank you. I actually covered most of it at the last COW. We have had a couple meetings. We have a list, an updated list of the original, all of the points that were brought up by the full board, by appointed and elected officials, and an update as to what sort of progress we've made on those, plus a more of a descriptive narrative on how we've done on our strategic planning process to date. Soon, the full board will get an opportunity to engage again in ideas on what we should be addressing. My hope is to have things go through the strategic planning committee to policy here to full board so that we can go through the process like we did last time, essentially, to update the plan, to continue to use it, to continue to look forward. That's a very general statement, but in the interest of time, that's probably enough of an update for this.
Thank you very much. Please, you can look at the handouts that are provided, and we, those who have been sent to that committee from this board, certainly want to engage on that process. That's a really important process for the next planning cycle. I'll go back to item F, designation of items to be placed on the county board consent agenda. That will be items 1 through 12 and items 14 through 19. Mr. James. At this point, who has the other business?
I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2, Parent C, Parent 11, to consider pending litigation against Champaign County. I further move that the following folks remain present: County's Legal Counsel, Mike Scavato, and County Administrator and the Recording Secretary, Nisa Moe.
Back by Ms. McGinty. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Yes.
Emmons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Berkson.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Cowart.
Yes.
Holderfield.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones. Kurtz. Langenheim.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Mosher.
No.
Nudo.
Yes.
O'Connor.
No.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes. Motion carries.
We're in closed session. Okay, we're done.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't ask for other
people. Not on the agenda.